much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. We heard a siren blowing and look like it stopped a while, then it blew it again. Boom! I got you. I said, what's going on here?
Exactly.
Well, we was already up. You know, I was fixing breakfast, getting the breakfast ready. And we heard all that noise. I said, what's going on here? Sound like it was by the door. I got nerves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, I've been DJing for like deuce years now. There's just something about loud music and tight spaces, you know? I just love it when the beat drops and everybody's face is like, whoa, the beat just dropped.
That is what it's like.
Yeah, that's what I do. I'm like, whoa.
Right?
Yeah. That must be so fresh.
Oh, on a fresh level, it is the frost.
And now.
Now, normally, this is when we get to know our contestants, but I met them backstage and I gotta say, they're unbelievably dull.
Our feature presentation.
Well, I'm offended and insulted, and you're probably accurate on that. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for the 26th of April, 2016. Morning, girls.
Good morning, Bean.
What up, Bean?
We are Kevin-less this morning because working is for losers.
It really is.
Yep.
It is,
why
right?
Is he better than us?
He just is.
Is he?
He's just, yes.
Chip, yes. Is he here? No.
Right.
Who's in bed right now and who's working with me?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right?
Chip, come on.
I rescind my statement.
Okay.
So, Allie, first of all, how does it work with you? When your team is out, do you pick another team to now root for?
No. But I love playoff hockey so much.
You just love watching whoever's playing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like okay. The games last night, Chip's team sadly lost for
right.
her.
Mm-hmm. Got game 7 Wednesday.
Game 7s are always the best.
At home, Honda Center. So
sure.
That should go good.
Okay.
Although the last 3 game 7s we hasn't.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering
time
why.
To turn around.
Okay,
time to
okay.
Turn around.
Good.
It's all going to happen. I'm
wondering if you were doing revisionist history in your head. But the Chicago game last night.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
They got eliminated, right?
Game 7.
Yeah.
It was down to the wire. It was unbelievable. Plus,
yeah.
Doc Emmerich was on the call. Everything about it was perfect.
Everyone loves
and
him.
Then the Blackhawks lost, and
so
that was
good.
So much more perfect. And
so you're happy. You would not go, well, you know what? The Chicago has been sort of a natural rival of the Kings in recent years because of the back-and-forth nature of winning the Cup, so maybe they'll be my team now. You wouldn't do that.
No. You're crazy.
They're enemies.
They're not. To me, it's no. But I would like someone that you wouldn't expect to win.
Right.
And you've got the Islanders, you've got the Blues. It's just, I like it.
And the Red Wings are out. I mean, a lot of teams that have been winners are not this year. So it will be different this year. So, yeah, it's fun. And it's a fun time. You know, and we always say this every year. We say this. Who are the geniuses that can't get together in the NBA and the NHL and not have the playoffs on at the exact same time? There must be a way to alter that calendar, right?
Yeah, but even as a huge hockey fan, no one's watching.
Yeah, basketball doesn't take any space in my mind at all.
No, not for me either, but no one's watching hockey.
But it's not hurting the ratings on the NBA games either because no one's watching hockey. All right,
no.
So maybe so it doesn't matter then if they're on at the same time. All right. Well, good luck to anyone who still has a team in the thing, in both of the things. And, of course, Dave's going to be walking around like a hangdog today after what happened with his Clippers last night, too.
Oh, great. Grumpy
you,
Dave.
It's what you want is a
I'm
mopey
saying.
Mexican.
Yep.
That's what you're looking for. Well, I got a story to get us started here. I don't know if you guys heard about this this couple that runs a pet shop in Eugene, Oregon. Do you hear about them? They run the Zany Zoo.
Nope, but I'm
name
in.
Of the place, which, by the way, for a long time was the name of the Kevin and Bean Morning Show, the Zany Zoo, but we had to change that. This is Nathan and Abby McLean, as I say, in Eugene, Oregon, and they're having some problems. Well, first of all, the store got robbed of $7,000. And it's unclear in the articles that I have been able to read, but it seems like they were selling Girl Scout cookies at the store. You could buy, and I don't know if that's because they have a kid who is in the Girl Scouts or what, but they were selling Girl Scout cookies at the store and keeping the money at the store. Well, that got stolen. The $7,000 got stolen.
That's a lot of cookies.
That's a whole lot of cookies, yeah, along with a laptop that they used to run their business there, the pet store. That happened. So they were stolen. Okay. So they don't know 100% who broke into the place and stole the stuff. But additionally, Nathan, the husband, was arrested for soliciting a prostitute.
Oh,
and
Nathan.
it is thought that perhaps Nathan used that money to buy hookers. All right.
Girl Scout cookie money?
Yes, Girl Scout
cookie money. This has so many levels.
How was he discovered? He was discovered because one of the sex workers, one of the ladies that Nathan was with, went to the police and said, "Hey, one of the guys I was with gave me a monkey for a tip."
Awesome.
And so she turned that in. The police turned it over to the, you know, the animal control people. And, you know, they traced it back to this man, Nathan McLean. And sure enough, he had stolen a bush baby, a little adorable monkey named Gooey. And had given it to the hooker.
No!
As a tip.
This is not true.
All of it is true. So I just, in my mind, I just can't imagine what it must be like to be a prostitute and have your John at the end go, "You know what, baby? You were terrific tonight. I'm going to give you this monkey as a tip, as a going away present."
Best prostitute day ever.
Right. Here's my question. Where was the monkey the whole time they were
yes.
completing the transaction?
That is an outstanding question. I mean, did he bring the monkey with him in a carrier? Or was he doing her in the pet store? I mean, there's so many details.
So many questions.
Meet me at the pet store could have been the thing. It could have been in call. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, I feel like if it was at the pet store, she could have been like, "Could I get a puppy instead?"
Right.
Like, I feel like maybe she wouldn't have left with the monkey.
Nope.
I'm so glad that she risked, you know, potential arrest herself by going to the police and turning over this monkey, but she had the animal's welfare in mind, which
and
I appreciate
so we
very
get
much.
The story.
Yeah, the story is unbelievable. Yeah. So far, Nathan has been arrested for the prostitution charges, but he has not been officially charged with the pet store burglaries, although everybody's putting two and two together and saying, well, that makes a lot of sense. He also, by the way, was arrested this month coming out of a porn shop under the influence of alcohol and on meth.
Oh, dear.
So Nathan's going through some issues right now.
I feel like maybe Abby has seen some stuff, too.
Well, Abby has been busy removing her husband's name off the business and all of the banking accounts, says that he will no longer be associated with the pet store. So he is out at Zany Zoo, and she is reflecting that on the Facebook page of the Zany Zoo, saying, "You know, we're suffering through a tragedy right now, trying to figure out the best course of action. Please respect our privacy, blah, blah, blah." So it sounds like here's how uptight Abby is. You steal Girl Scout cookie money and a laptop, get meth and hookers, and give away a monkey, and all of a sudden she's out. I mean, how uptight? What happened to standing by your man?
What happened to three strikes? Oh, wait, that was how many?
That was easy.
Here's my question. Where's Gooey?
Gooey is with animal control right now.
They have not
returned Gooey back to the pet store. Gooey is in an animal sanctuary until the USDA issues a new license for the pet store, it says here. So perhaps their paperwork was in arrears. So anyway, Gooey, the bush baby, is adorable, too, by the way. And it's a shame that he or she got dragged into this whole sordid mess.
Yeah, let's feel for Gooey the most in this story.
Exactly, yes. Anyway, so there you go. That's my man right there. That's Nathan McLean. So keep doing what you're doing, Nathan. That's good work. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
Okay. Well, your pumpedness makes me pumped.
Well, you should be pumped because Andrew Siciliano is going to be joining us with a rare spring appearance on the show talking the NFL because, Allie, did you spend a lot of time yesterday thinking about your boyfriend, Tom Brady, sitting out the first four games?
I did not.
I am surprised by that. I thought you'd be full of seething rage over this.
No. I think once Andrew explains it, there's nothing to be mad about because the players brought this on themselves.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
We also are going to be talking about Cain Velasquez. He's stopping by in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. He, of course, on the bill for UFC 200. He's one of the fighters who is promoted, who actually is going to be there.
And I believe yesterday he had something like an 18-hour media day.
Holy
and he
moly.
Did it all. He went and he
what?
Did it all and
he didn't throw a little tantrum?
Nope, he did not.
Did he send any tweets and he's retiring?
No, he did not. He will be here today, too.
All right, so that is Cade. Also, Mark Maron, one of the best in the business. Great comedian, terrific podcaster. His new show is coming back in a couple of weeks on IFC. Maron, the new season of Maron is going to be coming back. We love Mark. We always like to catch up with him. And let me see, anything else? Oh, and we'll introduce you to the liberal redneck on today's program as well, who is becoming a lot of people's favorite webcaster right now. The liberal redneck has a lot of things to say and a lot of surprising things to say from a man who looks and sounds like him. Am I right?
You are right.
All of that, plus Ralph's got the showbiz beat. That's next right after this on K-Rock. If you're in some sort of a coma yesterday or a cave or somehow you missed the Kevin and Bean show, maybe you don't know that we made the announcement of the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016. It is coming Saturday, May 14th at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater with a great lineup, including the Chili Peppers and Weezer and Panic at the Disco and Garbage and so much more. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon for street team members. Please get all the information and join us. Go to KROQ.com for details. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What's going on with you this fine Tuesday morning?
Oh, it's just so Tuesday, right?
It's very Tuesday-esque.
Oh, boy, is it Tuesday.
Feels every bit of Tuesday.
Yep.
It's Tuesday to the bone.
No mistake in it.
I want a bone Tuesday.
All right, easy. Oh. Why do you have to ruin it? We were all having a good time.
Sorry.
And you had to go blue.
You know me.
Little girl blue.
This is making me extremely horny.
I know. True. Just stop for once. All right, let's take a look at the show business news on a Tuesday morning. Bean, good news for you.
Tell me.
Zac Efron is single and looking to mingle.
Why would
all right,
you do that?
Go on.
Bean,
go on.
Bean loves his sweet Zac. Allie, I'm
do.
Just trying to help
He's
a brother
a sweet
out.
Boy, I know, but.
I know. Bean just wants to get
Who doesn't love Zac
Bean
Efron,
just wants a Zac attack. That's all. He wants a little Efron.
Yep.
And a little F back. Front and back.
What happened with him and his little
Sammy?
Miro.
Sammy Miro?
Yeah.
After 2 years of togetherness, they have split. And it's serious, man, because he unfollowed her on Instagram
Uh-oh.
And Twitter.
Oh, no.
He deleted all of their photos online together.
That's irreparable. Then you can't come back from that.
And most importantly, she was seen at Coachella this past weekend without Zach. So it is dead.
It sounds
over.
Like it's over.
Finished.
Well, I mean, he really let himself go, you know? She didn't want to be with that.
Oh, he's a pig.
Right?
Yeah. You seen the trailer for Neighbors 2?
Mm-hmm.
Many Rogen? Times.
Yeah. Oh, God. Looks very funny, though.
It does
very
look funny,
yeah. And he's really good in those movies.
He is.
Yeah.
When you think love is dead, after that story, you'll be happy to know that the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan, is making an honest woman out of his longtime girlfriend. Finally getting married.
I did not see that coming.
Yep.
Had a different partner in mind for Caesar, did you, Ellie?
Sure did.
Jahira Dar is the name of his longtime girlfriend, and this will be his second marriage. He's got a bunch of kids from the first marriage.
Huh.
And he said now his pack is complete. Isn't that touching?
No, he didn't.
He finally got a bitch.
Oh.
You have to have a bitch to have a pack,
I feel
right?
Like maybe.
If he doesn't let you write his vows, Ralph, he's missing out.
It works on Allie, too, just like it does on the dogs and Dog Whisperer. You're going to have a dog member bite your ear.
Listen to Oh, that's a pig. It's a pig that. But I think it was. Maybe.
And this is some BS. This is some, in the words of Jonah on Veep this past weekend, this is some highly enriched weapons-grade BS. Cracker Jack. You know Cracker Jack?
Yes.
Buy me some peanuts and?
Cracker Jacks.
Right? You know the sweetest part of the Cracker Jack experience?
Getting that tattoo.
Right. Getting your sweet-ass prize at the bottom of the box. Well, Cracker Jack's just announced they are removing the prize from inside the box of Cracker Jack. Now, instead, you will get a digital code, which will let you download a baseball-themed game to play on your phone.
Oh, F you.
F you, Cracker Jack.
That's this is highly enriched, weapons-grade bull.
That's right.
That's right, Jonah.
You're right, Jonad. That is, come on!
That's awful.
Must everything be digitally downloaded now? Can't we have one real-life, tangible experience where we get to touch something.
I was also very sad by this news, Ralph, but I started thinking about it. Kids today, who predominantly are the ones who would get excited about a toy in Cracker Jack, they do live in a digital environment. And do you think they would be excited about the little tattoo or the little plastic figurine or the little compass or whatever it is they would find in the bottom? I mean, is that a prize that would be considered valuable for a child anymore?
What would be a more novel experience for a digital child to get a tangible, real toy, or for a kid who grows up with plastic army men and toys and tattoos his whole life getting a digital, getting a tattoo or a toy in a box? I would think, if anything, it'd be more interesting and more of a novelty.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I wonder if they made the decision because kids weren't into the toys, or if they just made the decision because it's obviously way cheaper to do this.
Of course that's the decision. If you print something at a barcode on the label, it's much cheaper than actually putting stuff inside the box.
I don't like it either.
Plus, it runs the hope that they're at home playing video games, eating more Cracker Jacks.
Oh, I see. Huh? It's part of the pusher mentality.
It's a conspiracy to keep our kids fat.
Yeah. Eat up, kids.
Yeah.
Play the digital game on your ass and eat more Cracker Jack, you fat bastards.
Now, you guys are
brought
with
you
me.
Brought to you by the Diabetes Society of America.
That Cracker Jacks are delicious.
Yes.
But the little peanuts in the Cracker Jacks are the best part of the food.
Oh, see, I leave those.
It's the caramel-coated popcorn.
Oh, yeah. The little peanuts that go with
it. I leave the
really?
End, and then I usually give those away. If somebody had a tattoo, I'd be like, you want my nuts?
I love the little peanuts because they're covered in something that's whatever that...
It's caramel.
Caramel,
that's it, yeah.
It's caramel coating.
No, it's like some mysterious ingredient that no one's ever been able to identify.
It's caramel coating. So it's caramel-coated popcorn and peanuts right there on the box.
Are you sure? I'm positive.
They secretly dip them in a laboratory on the moon, and no one has ever been able to crack the code.
It is a very obvious... coating on it that is listed in bold letters on the box.
Well, what I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying they're very mysterious. We don't know how they're made, but they're delicious.
With me at all. It's a very simple process.
I just think you're terrific.
Yeah, you're the best. Oh. Holy crap.
You think?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jet Li is 53 years old today. One of the great action stars. Channing Tatum turns 36. Kevin James. Oh, it's a shame Kevin's out today.
Maybe this is why.
He's celebrating Kevin James Day.
Having a film marathon.
He's driving around on a Segway into glass panes to celebrate. He's 51
years
old.
That's a clean piece of glass, though, Ralph.
It really
Don't discount
is.
That, man.
You didn't see it coming, really. Tom Welling, our Superman from Smallville, is 39 years old. And the lovely and talented Stana Katic. I will still never forgive ABC for what they've done to my castle by letting Kate Beckett go away. It's unacceptable. I demand repercussions.
You would prefer they just cancel the show rather than limp on without Stana, right?
I would prefer the show with Kate Beckett.
Of course, yeah.
Or just have a spinoff. Beckett! !!
I like it.
But Stana's beautiful and talented. I'm sure she's going to go on to great, great things. She's 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about some brand new Death Club for Cutie?
It's Death Cab
Death
for Cutie,
Club. Oh, got Death Club. You know the first rule of Death Club.
Never play their song?
No, never talk about Death Club.
Oh, gotcha. Hey, welcome to the Kevin DeBeat Show here on a Tuesday morning. By the way, in addition to Kane Velasquez from USC 200 and the great Mark Maron stopping by today, Ralph is going to be giving away tickets for Captain America Civil War.
Got that sweet ass right.
What? How about that?
That didn't work at all. No, I'll work on it.
Guys, there's been a controversy a-brewing in this country for months now, and it's really at a fever pitch. If you're not a person who, if you're like our boy Kevin, who doesn't watch the news because you're a kid, and maybe you've just heard, hey, what's all this controversy about bathrooms that's going on? Why are bathrooms in the news right now? And you hear, you know, Bruce Springsteen won't play North Carolina because of a bathroom bill, and you hear about conservative Christian group boycotting Target because of their bathroom policy. What's it all about? Well, what it's all about is we are getting to a point in this country where there are such things as gender neutral bathrooms. In other words, these are bathrooms that are not segregated by sex. And the reason for this, Ralph Garman, is
Hatred.
No. No, the opposite of that. The reason
you're talking about the general neutral bathrooms.
Yeah, the gender neutral bathrooms.
Attempt to satisfy the need of transgendered people to be able to go and use the bathroom without having to be concerned about which sexed bathroom they go to use.
And why is that a struggle for somebody who has either gone through a sex change operation or in their mind consider themselves one sex, even though they may have been born a different sex? Why is that a struggle for them to continue to use the bathroom they may have always used?
Because they're passing bills saying that they need to use the bathroom.
Why is that a struggle for the person?
For the person, yeah. Why does it matter to the person?
If you identify as a woman, you feel you are a woman or you have transitioned into womanhood, mm-hmm. for you to go into the men's room, it goes against everything that you are. It feels completely foreign to you. It's inappropriate for you to go into a men's room, even though you may have been technically born male. You now certainly identify and feel all woman, and so you want to be able to use the woman's room.
Okay.
And there's people who freak out about that. So what they're trying to do to create a safe space is to make a gender neutral bathroom where you can go without concern of repercussion one way or the other.
Well,
that's not happening in a lot of places. A lot of people are just saying you have to go use the bathroom that you were born to use, hence this North Carolina bill, for example.
There's a man on the internet who has a video that's catching fire a little bit because he has spoken out on this transgender bathroom issue. And he goes by the name Liberal Redneck. And when you just listen to him and look at him standing, you know, probably in front of his trailer in a bunch of woods with his shirt off and a baseball cap on, and you listen to his accent, you would not expect some of the things that are coming out of his mouth. And I think that's why his video has caught on a little bit, because he is, you know, he's going against what you would expect somebody like him to say. But let's hear a little bit of the Liberal Redneck on this issue.
What's up, y'all? Liberal Redneck here. We gonna do it again. Fired up, son. I've been seeing all these Facebook posts about transgender bathrooms, and every one of them comes down to the same Well, hell, what's to stop some pervert from wrapping a skirt around his wiener and going in the ladies' room with my baby girl? I ain't having that. We got to watch out for the kids.
All right, let me stop you right there. That's probably where a lot of parents are coming from, is I don't want some 40-year-old man to go into the girls' bathroom when my daughter's in there.
Oh, that's all I'm seeing online and from people. That's their thought, that men are cross-dressing to get into a woman's bathroom. That, in a lot of people's mind, is what someone that's transgender is. They're not getting the full aspect of what actual they're identifying as. They think it's just a guy putting on a dress going mm-hmm. in to check out their kid.
Yeah. By the way, is largely, I think, also a position that they take in order to hide their true feelings behind how they feel about
Absolutely.
The transgender community.
Absolutely.
So they're even taking it to the point of, if you're a transgender or transvestite, even, you are also a child molester, is essentially what they're saying, right?
Right. That's what mm-hmm. What they're trying to equate, that somehow you're a pervert if you happen to be a transgendered person, which is just simply ridiculous.
Gotcha. All right, more from the Liberal Redneck.
Meanwhile, these are the same motherfuckers put Mountain Dew in sippy cups and beat a 6-year-old with a wire hanger for standing in front of the TV during Dr. Oz. Y'all are so foolish. What do you think is going to happen? You do know that transgender people have existed forever, right? What bathrooms you think they've been using? And how many times you ever hear about what you're worried about happening? Hardly not, never. Because even people that are child molesters are not going to prey on a kid in broad daylight, in public, especially not with their mouth-breathing troglodyte daddy 12 feet outside the door just dying to punch something different. It don't make no sense. And what about little boys? The vast majority of people that prey on little boys are adult males. This law don't affect them one way or the other. So unless you're also suggesting that we have separate bathrooms for Catholic priests, I think you need to cut the
Whoa.
Quit being a pussy and say what you mean. You're freaked out. The thought of a man wanting to be a woman disgusts you. Because like most things that disgust you, you lack the capacity to understand it. Mm. You know, algebra like that. And y'all ain't gonna change. I realize that now. But that's okay. Because the rest of us are trying to ensure that the next generation, you know, your kids, grow up in a world that's a little more open-minded. And that's happening whether you like it or not. Bye.
Bye. Is anyone who fears this, Ralph, automatically 100% across the board wrong? Is it just a question of it being too new an idea for it to have gained mass acceptance? And the reason I ask that is because we live in a country, there was a time where black people were bought and sold and kept on chains in the backyard like a dog. We live in a country where there was a time where people believed that if you shake a gay person's hand, you're going to get AIDS. And we grow through all of those things as a society, and there's and the ignorance disappears with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Are we just at a point now where this is just a new concept that is tough for many people to wrap their heads around, and it's just because they're not used to it, and 100 years from now, people will laugh that this was ever a controversy?
But this isn't about social mores. That's the problem. Is you can't – you want to progress. It takes time. It takes a certain – it's slow to change. That's fine. But you can't start to legislate people's rights away from them because of whatever bias you may have. I think that's the problem people have, is that once you start – creating laws that specifically are targeting one particular minority, mm-hmm. that's beyond not progressing at a rate we'd like to see. That's actually going backwards. That's actually not right to be legislating laws. And I think that's why people are so upset with the North Carolina law.
How do you think this will play out for Target? This is the one of the largest petitions that this conservative Christian group that we've talked about many times in the show has ever put together. They have over 500,000 signatures already. And a lot of people are saying, look, women are afraid of this new policy at Target, and women are the primary shoppers at Target, and it's going to hurt you financially. Target generally stands up for what they believe in, and they've got a pretty good track record on issues like this. You think they'll have problems with this?
Well, I'm unfamiliar with the Target situation. You have to give me the details on that. Are they creating gender neutral bathrooms, or are they
That's
allowing
right.
transgenders to use the bathroom of their assigned sexuality?
Both.
Well, then that's their right. They're a private business, and I think they should be. But I mean, they're being inclusive, you know, which is
they
great.
Are. No, I think they're doing the right thing, too. I just wonder, this boycott seems bigger than most of the boycotts that this group is able to put together. And I'm just wondering if it's going to come to, you know, what's going to end up happening, if it's going to ultimately hurt a company like Target's bottom line.
Well, it's like the liberal redneck said in that video piece you played. What did people think transgenders were doing before
right.
for bathroom
They
use?
Weren't holding it in and
nothing
waiting to get
Nothing
home.
Changes. Just yeah. because Target allows it doesn't mean it wasn't happening already.
Right.
And they're not concerned about somebody like this Republican congressman, Dennett Hassert, who was the wrestling coach at a high school
right.
for
that
30
was
years.
Molesting boys left
and five
right.
young yeah. men have come forward and said he was molesting me on trips when we used to go off to wrestling tournaments. I mean, listen, there's awful people out there. There's people who will do awful things and sexual predators. But it has nothing to do with transgenders in bathrooms. It's just it doesn't make any sense.
I agree. It's like the people who freaked out about gay scout leaders as if all adult males who are homosexual are going to be child molesters, which was absurd. That's not what they were into.
No, it's... But, you know, more often than not, it's a priest or it's a married man who's suppressing his sexuality, who's acting out with children. I mean, there's all kinds of weirdness out there that has nothing to do with whatever sexuality you identify yourself as. It has to do with whatever perversions are lurking inside your psyche, which crosses all boundaries. I mean, you can't legislate away bad behavior because you're afraid of someone who's different than you.
You know, I wasn't planning on us taking calls on this issue, but what if we took a quick break and came back and heard from some of our listeners on this? We really haven't discussed this on the show before, and this may be an issue that people have strong feelings on or have been wanting to get on the air anyway.
Sure, let's talk about it.
So now that we've got a jumping off point, let's hear from you on this at 1-800-520-1067. Is it are you down with it, or is it wrong? Does it make you uncomfortable? Is there some reason why there shouldn't be gender neutral bathrooms, or do you think people should be able to go where they want to go? That's the question on the table. 1-800-520-1067. Quick break. Your call's next on K-Rock. Wait, now Demi Lovato has canceled her tour in North Carolina, Ralph?
Yes.
That's going to turn around.
That's going to hurt those hillbillies, I'll tell you.
That's going to hurt a
no
lot.
No Jonas, no peace.
So the law in North Carolina.
He's touring with her.
Oh.
Yes.
Sorry,
Al,
where
you got
came
confused
from.
There for a minute.
So the law in North Carolina that has everybody or lots of people up in arms says that you have to use – legally, you are only allowed to use the bathroom that corresponds with the sex you were born to, right?
Right.
And that's where the rub is for a lot right. of people.
If you're born with a penis, regardless of how you identify now, no matter what you look like now, whatever your sexuality identification is now, you have to use the men's room. And if they're looking to avoid problems, by the way, if you're North Carolina and you got a room full of men and in walks a transgender woman mm-hmm. to use that bathroom, what do you think is going to cause more problems?
Exactly. If I'm using the bathroom and somebody that looks like a full-blown man walks in.
A guy comes in with a beard and overalls.
And goes into the stall and use the restroom. I'm going to freak out.
You're going to be freaked.
Absolutely.
Much more so than you would be if a woman came in, a transgender woman who looks just like you and also goes in the stall would affect you, right?
Yep.
Well, we thought we'd squeeze in a few phone calls on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. And why don't we start with Rich? He's in Thousand Oaks and he is on line 3. He's going to get us going. Rich, thanks so much for calling and for holding on. What say you, sir?
Good morning, all.
What's up, Rich?
I'm just perplexed by the numbers of this. I mean, the population that everybody's talking about right now is a fraction of a fraction of a fraction.
Right.
And our politicians are turning this into this huge conversation instead of dealing with real issues. I mean, is this seriously an issue? I mean, really. Think about the population. Think about how many people go into Target that actually need this.
Well, I mean, is it an issue for the people who it affects? Yeah, I guess it is. You're saying those numbers are so small that we shouldn't change any laws for those people because they're marginalized, in other words.
I'm saying it's a huge waste of time because there's a lot of other things that people should be talking about out of this fraction of the population.
Well, I think that's people's point is why was this law created in North Carolina to discriminate against such a small portion of the population? Why was this legislation necessary? I think people are asking.
When I guarantee people had no idea that the woman in the stall next to them was born a man,
right,
and it didn't affect the rest of their day at all.
No, and it would. And people are going to go on their lives and wouldn't even recognize. But now it's all over the place.
Well, I think what happens is when the rights of the smallest number of us are affected, it affects us all because we have to be vigilant in protecting the rights of all people, even people who are maybe in the minority or maybe different than us.
Thank you for the caller, Rich. We very much appreciate it. Let's move on to Elliot. He's on line 7. He's in Aliso Viejo, and he's up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Elliot. Good morning.
How's it going? Good morning.
So, what do you think? You've been hearing the liberal redneck and others. What do you think?
Yeah, well, to Rick's point, little problems turn into big problems, and the problem is it becomes a universal standard, and what is the standard of intolerance? I think on both ends you'll have bigots that do not like organized religion at all, no matter what, and there's also two organized religious people who hate the opposite side because they don't understand it. I have a daughter, and I think the problem isn't with transgender people using the opposite sex bathrooms based on who they identify or how they identify themselves. The problem is with the cross-dressers, the people who are going through the transition trying to figure out if they want to make the transition into a female or the transition to a male, because during the day they might be one sex, during the night they might be another. So I think there needs to be a standard of which when that person is allowed to use opposite sex bathrooms.
But realistically, though, you can't have somebody in front of every bathroom in America that checks in your pants and also checks in your brain to find out where your head's at that week. You just can't. It's not doable.
Right. We can't have somebody checking the private parts. But again, that's where the problem lies, and I think that's why it is a serious issue. Because I mean, what if you do have somebody going into the opposite sex bathroom and then they're not really fully committed and, you know, they might be married, so they might have lived a straight life.
Okay,
but
what's going on?
Is this some sort of epidemic where the problems are resulting in the bathrooms because of people going in there to use the bathroom?
Yeah, a cross-dresser is not someone that's transgender. Let's make that very clear. Those are two totally different things. Someone's transgender does not mean, oh, I just like dressing up like a chick. That's not what it is.
So the transgender means they're making the transition into the opposite sex.
They identify as the opposite sex, right.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to ask you, Elliot, because you did bring up your daughter. What's your concern about your daughter in this case?
Well, my concern is the standard of which that we allow transgender people to use the opposite sex of bathrooms. What is the standard? If I dress up like a female and say I feel like a female, am I allowed to use the female bathroom?
Yes. I mean, yes, that's...
Because you're just going to the bathroom, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You're just going to the bathroom.
For me, I'm just going to the bathroom, but I don't know the motives of everybody. And I guess that's the scary part is what are the motives of these people that are using the restroom? I'm not against it. I understand and I fully agree and accept the transgender people.
But you're also equating the fact that if they're transgender, that somehow their motives are suspect, that something sinister might be going on.
Their motive is to pee. That's their motive.
Not transgender. It's somebody who, if I put on a wig and a female attire,
you're worried about somebody you're worried about somebody scamming the system. Somebody looking at this going, "Ooh, here's my opportunity to do bad things to people."
Right.
I understand that.
I'm not worried about the rule. I'm worried about the exceptions. And
yeah,
I guess there will always be the exceptions that are the fear, and it's just the little fears, kind of like what the redneck was saying. It's the fear of the difference, and over time it might become more accepting, and I might become more understanding to it. But it is that little fear at the first glimpse of it. It's like, well, the exception is that this could possibly happen.
I completely understand, and I think it's okay. Don't you guys? It's okay to ask that question.
Absolutely.
In your mind: is how is this thing going to play out? If this is the new national policy going forward, what are the dangers? I think that's a completely legitimate question. And the dangers are always going to be that there are horrible people, there are outliers, there are people who are going to take advantage of a situation and do bad things. But 99.99999% of the people, like Ali said, are just going in there.
But here's the thing: this never happened before this legislation was passed.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So
right.
Now, because they've passed this legislation, they're in actuality, the people in North Carolina who wanted this bigoted law to be passed are forcing the hand of right-thinking institutions like Target to say, we now open up the floodgates and allow anyone to use the bathroom that they choose to see fit. They've created more of an issue. If someone was going to try to job the system, now would be the opportunity, because it's in a reflex to what this legislation has created.
I agree. Yeah. We're in growing pains on this issue. You're right. Because of laws like what's going on in North Carolina. That's why these things
are
changing.
Often do you ever see in the news a man dressed up as a woman to get into the ladies' room this week to try to molest other women? I can't remember that ever happening once.
It doesn't happen. But good call, Elliot. Thank you very much for listening to the Kevin Show. We're going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry we didn't have time to get to more calls, but we will continue to keep an eye on this story, and we'll be right back with more on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Next hour on the Kevin Bean Show, our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and the Red Zone on DirecTV is going to explain to us why Deflategate, which I thought was settled back when I was in high school, is back in the news. How is Deflategate still a thing?
I don't know.
I guess we'll find out. First, though, this is one of the great mysteries that in a story that I have read recently. Russia is in the news. There's a military contract. The Russia Ministry of Defense said, hey, we're looking for dolphins. Anyone want to sell us some dolphins? And the Dolphinarium in Moscow said, we'll sell you some dolphins. So the Russian Ministry of Defense bought 5 dolphins, paying over $5,000 per animal. Ali, what are they going to use these dolphins for? They say they don't use dolphins for military uses.
Oh, they're going to spy.
You think they're going to be spies?
Absolutely. Dolphin spies.
I know they used to use dolphins as spies, but I thought that was like back in the 60s. I didn't think they used that anymore. Here's the curious thing about this article. So these dolphins have to be delivered by August 1st. They're 3 male and 2 female dolphins, aged 3 to 5 years old, and they have to have all of their teeth intact and no mucus from the blowhole, according to the request from the Russia's Ministry of Defense.
That's important.
Why? What is going on with these dolphins? Why do these dolphins have to have their teeth intact? What are they
Where
using them for?
Where are you going to put the chips to spy on with?
How does that? What does that have
You're
to do with
You're going to put the chips on the teeth.
Okay.
Where else would you put this chip that will not be noticeable? You put it on the tooth.
Okay. Well, maybe you know more about how dolphin spies work than
exactly.
I do, but we asked Dave if he could line somebody up to address this very serious issue, and apparently we have General Sergei Bobrovsky, who joins us on the phone right now. General, how are you, sir?
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, we're very confused about this story, and frankly, if it's for spying, I'm surprised that this story made the news at all.
Yes, it turns out the secret control of information in Russia ain't what it used to be.
All right, so you would prefer we didn't know about the 5 dolphins
there
you just bought.
There was a time during Cold War we were much better at keeping secrets than apparently we are now today for much to having.
All right, so 3 males, 2 females, aged 3 to 5 with all of their teeth intact. Can we start there, General? What's that about?
You must, for to be having dolphins, you must have all the teeth in place for nice smile. You want to have nice smile when dolphins smile. Everyone happy when dolphins smile. You want to say, hey, look at the nice teeth of dolphin. Should be in Colgate commercial. So nice with the teeth.
Well, they're very cute. Okay. I mean, dolphins are very cute.
Incredibly cute. And so much more so without the janky teeth.
Okay. So it's just an aesthetic. You just want them to look
good. If you were going to buy dolphin, you want to have nice dolphin face, right?
You're right, well, yes.
I guess. Well, Allie had a theory that maybe that you were using that as a place to put bugs or some sort of electronic equipment or something.
Yes. Why for we to be spying on anyone? We're friendly Russians. Everybody We're all having good time. Drink vodka. Everybody has smile dolphin now.
I don't think we're all 100% on the same page.
Right, Stinky?
Stinky.
Oh, happy Stinky is with all his nice teeth.
All right.
The most important thing of all to have is no mucus in the blowhole.
Yeah, that's the second item on the list. Now, what does no mucus in the blowhole even mean, General?
You need to have nice, clean blowhole. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes a good, clean blowhole.
Yeah.
You don't want anything icky come out blowhole.
Right.
Okay.
Right?
Are we still talking about dolphins?
Whatever. Any blowhole. Your blowhole, my blowhole, dolphin blowhole. Everybody likes nice, clean blowhole.
Okay. How do you...
That's universal. Everybody.
It's science.
That's science. Yes. Yeah. Everybody blowhole should be nice, clean.
Okay. And...
You okay?
I am okay. I just
you got something stuck in your blowhole. Perhaps.
I'm puzzled why that's a concern of the Russian military. It's still very. I feel like, General, I feel like there's something you're not telling us.
All right. Listen, can you keep secret?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Listen, it's hard for me now for me to be in defense ministry because of Putin.
Right.
Putin is off his rocker.
He's crazy, man. He is crazy, yeah.
This whole thing happened because Putin wants a photo op of him water skiing on back of dolphins.
I don't doubt that at all.
He wants 1 foot on a one-inch dolphin with reins in his hands.
Yeah.
Swimming through ocean with no shirt on for photographs.
This makes so much sense.
That sounds about right.
This guy's crazy. Everything comes down to us. Oh, Sergey, hey, buy me a kangaroo that I can box with my shirt off for photo. I have to go buy kangaroo then. Hey, Sergey, I want to wrestle bear. Okay, now I got to go buy I have to use defense funds to go buy bear.
Yeah.
Hey, Sergey, get me a hive of bees to wear as beard. I want to have one of those bee beards with my shirt off for photograph. With this guy for photograph.
I do feel like Putin spends most of his time in office just taking pictures for a calendar.
Exactly. Now I have to buy dolphin for him to water ski on, like he's freaking from SeaWorld or something.
Okay. Well, I feel a lot better about this story now. So we're not in any danger. It's just a photo.
You're not in danger. I'm in danger because Putin's off his rocker.
I'm sorry to hear that. Give our best to Stinky, won't you?
Hi, Stinky. Everybody loves you and nice teeth.
Friday at noon, that's when you, the K-Rock Street Team member, will be buying your tickets to join us May 14th at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater talking about this year's K-Rock Weenie Roast. This is the 24th year, by the way, we've done the Weenie Roast.
Woo!
Ralph, the 23rd year that we'll be doing it at Irvine Meadows and the final year.
Aww.
I'm very sad to have to say goodbye to that venue.
It's going away.
This is it. Closing it down.
And
we're
losing all our venues, aren't we?
Yep.
We lost the Gib a couple years ago.
That's right.
Now we're losing the Verizon.
Next year's Weenie Roast, maybe at your house, the way it's looking. I don't know. But anyway.
That'll be fun.
That'd be awesome. Let's all just gather around the pool and watch the Chili Peppers.
Tickets on sale Friday at noon. Again, make sure you're a Street Team member. Go to KROX.com and sign up so you get the password to buy your tickets. It's going to be a great, great show. All right. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's new?
1 year we did the Big A, right? Isn't that where?
Is that the first year?
No.
I think it was
in the middle,
2000.
I was working here when it happened.
Oh, wow.
I think it was 2000 or 2001. I think we did it at Angel Stadium, and I think we felt like it was maybe too big.
It was a different vibe. That's for
different
sure.
Different vibe. Yeah, but it was a great show.
That was
Ozzy year.
Oh, that's right.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do, and of course, it's above our pay grade to decide. But I know that the wish is to find another good outdoor venue because you want to be outdoors for the Weenie Roast, right?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You could do it at the Honda Center or something like that, but you want to be outside and enjoy the sun.
Most people do. I don't. Personally, I'm not
a fan. I'd rather be somewhere with air conditioning.
Not a fan of the sun or the heat. It's not a great time for me, but other people seem to enjoy that sort of thing in the summertime. So who am I to say? Me, personally, I'd have it in a mine somewhere
underground,
a few miles beneath the earth. Yes, where it's nice and cool, some dripping stalactites or stalagmites, whichever one comes down from the ceiling. And some groundwater. I would like all that to be the situation.
Well, you can't please everybody all the time.
And I don't expect to be pleased.
I mean, for me, I would like it to just be online and be over around 8:30.
You would like it fed via coaxial cable into your cerebral cortex somehow. But
that's
no,
a great idea.
It has to happen. It has to happen live. Speaking of music, more weird details coming out about Prince's last days before he died. According to his brother-in-law, Maurice Phillips, I don't know if you saw this claim or not, but he told the UK's Daily Mail that Prince was up, awake, for 6 days straight, working the whole time before his death.
Yeah.
154 hours.
That's not healthy.
Before his death. No, not at all. I mean, even if you're in good health, that could have serious detrimental effects. But if Prince was indeed abusing substances or whatever the situation was, that would be a big mistake. There's no word on what he was working on for all those hours. But Maurice was talking to fans on Saturday as he arrived for the memorial service at Paisley Park, and he said that that was the case. So, I mean, it sounds like the guy would know, I suppose.
Yeah.
Maurice also said there are plans to transform Paisley Park into a museum, into a sort of a Prince-dedicated museum, which seems appropriate.
Did you see the story, Ralph? I wonder its validity, because it was in the Daily Mail, and it does not seem to have been picked up by a lot of other outlets, about the guy who claims to have been Prince's long-term drug dealer.
Did you see that news? I saw it yesterday, and I opted not to report on it, because it seemed dubious to me.
Seemed like, opportunistic.
Yeah,
it
seemed like the guy had something to say. I mean, for those of you who didn't see the story, I guess we're reporting on it now, but he claimed that for years prior to Prince's hip surgery. A lot of people pointing towards his hip surgery in 2010 to the point where perhaps he started taking and perhaps abusing Percocet as an opiate. Said that he, this drug dealer claimed that he provided Prince with opiates for years prior to that as well. So that
and was spending tens of thousands of dollars to buy these pills in massive amounts.
Perhaps there was some long-standing drug issues going on there before even the operation. So,
and it's so shocking. It's so shocking just based on everything we thought we knew about Prince, about how crazy clean his life was.
Yeah.
If true.
See, you never know.
You never know
what's going on. Sometimes you're clean. Sometimes you have mucus in your blowhole.
I've heard that.
That's the problem.
You don't know what's happening. If there was ever a day to watch live with Michael and Kelly, today would be the day, right?
Yeah.
Because Kelly's back. And she's not happy.
They're going to fight, right?
Yeah, something's going to go down. So tune in this morning. Apparently she's returning for the first time since the news broke that Michael Strahan was leaving the show to go to Good Morning America. And she has, everyone connected with the process says that she has been unhappy with that decision and how she was the news was broken to her. And apparently they will address that this morning on the show if you want to check it out. But I'm thinking some sort of smackdown.
She's going to show up with a flamethrower.
Oh, wouldn't it be great? Like black under her eyes.
Right.
And like a hockey mask and a machete and just start taking people out. Wouldn't that be entertaining to watch Kelly Ripa just wreck some people?
Wolverine claws, everything. Just bring it all.
Baseball bat with nails in it and stuff. Just Gelman right in the back of the head. His brains are all over the place.
All right. I am set up. 9 o'clock.
Gelman! Reed just comes out.
Tag team? What's happening there?
Reed just comes out in like Kevlar, helping her out or against her. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be entertaining. I guess. Maybe. Or maybe they'll just be nice.
Right.
Maybe they'll just more than
do a show.
They caught Regis just walking on the streets of New York and
just
asked him about it.
Looking for his home.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But they
Where's
said
my pudding?
Pretty much, yeah.
Confused.
But they asked him what he thought of all of it, and he said that he thinks that she should have been told a different way. And then they said, well, what about you? Would you ever go back? And he's like, that show is not my problem anymore.
Regis. Rage.
I see what you're saying.
Rage washes his hand of the whole thing.
I love him.
I love him, too. He's one of my five favorite celebrities of all time, Regis Philbin.
I'm not going that far.
That's a strange, strange.
He is. I love Regis. He's just a professional. He's just a
There's a lot of professionals.
Calm down.
My mailman's a professional. There's a lot of professionals in the world. Why don't you just zip up your pants,
Because he was on television for 60 years as the consummate professional broadcaster.
So was Captain Kangaroo.
He was an outstanding host.
I put him top five.
Stop it. You're both weird. I would like to know the other four, Bean. Give me your top five celebrities of all time.
Well, I don't have them at the top of my tip of my tongue or the top of my head or wherever you have things.
Wow.
Where do you keep those things?
Well, obviously, Weird Al is number one.
It's in some vault somewhere in case of your death and it's released to your lawyers.
I can think of four off the top of my head. Regis would be one. Adam West would be one. Right. William Shatner would be one. Okay. And Weird Al Yankovic would be one. Those are probably my top four.
Pretty good list.
Celebrities that I'm most... And by that, I mean the celebrities that we've been lucky enough to have on this show a number of times that I am most excited and most aware that I am in the presence of a legend and of a person that I am already pre-sad about their death.
I've got number five.
What's the fifth one?
Number five.
Screech.
Oh, yeah, Screech, sure.
I don't think. Well, until the stabbing,
Dustin
Screech
Diamond.
Might have been up there. But,
Dustin Diamond.
But, yeah, I love Regis, and I do from time to time think about, you know, he's not getting any younger, contrary to reports, and it's going to be a very, very sad day when we lose the Reach.
It all goes to death.
It always circles back for Bean. It's all about pre-sad.
Who would you put in your top five of all-time celebrities, Ralph?
Well, the only one we share would be Adam West.
Adam West, absolutely.
Obviously.
He should be in everybody's list.
Yes. I think Tom Hanks would have to be in my top five.
Just a guy you just adore.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just personally and professionally. Every move he makes, every breath he takes.
Oh.
I'll be watching him and enjoying his work.
Okay.
So Hanks would be one.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Adam West, as I mentioned. Boy, you put me on the spot here. I have never put this
really?
List together before in
I
my life.
I love lists.
Yeah, I know you do, Asperger's. But I've never really sat down and made myself a list of top five celebrities. So this is just off the tip of my head or the top of my tongue or wherever it came from for you.
Well, maybe we revisit this another time and everybody gives a list.
Maybe we will. Maybe. We'll
Who's the first name, Allie, that comes to your mind when you think of your favorite celebrities of all time?
Mel Brooks.
Ooh,
that's
good
a
choice.
Good one.
Just
good
right,
choice.
I'd make him 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's a
Can
good
I
one.
Do that?
Martin Short springs to my mind for some reason automatically when I think of people
yeah.
that I love.
Just never done a bad thing.
Yeah.
The nicest
and,
guy in the
but
world.
Yeah,
yeah.
Beyond, see, for me, it's always beyond professional. It's also whatever hit I get off of them in terms of like a personality and a personal thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I always just seem like Martin Short is just such a decent guy. But he must be a decent guy, I must say. Oh, could I be a bigger fan? I don't think so. I'd be completely mental if I ever met him, don't you know? So I just think, yeah, he's one of my favorites.
And
I want to eat soup with Mel.
Okay.
All right.
Now
I think
you've, once
really
again,
fun.
You've ruined it for all of us.
And all the Dursts,
you
right?
Slurpings.
All the Dursts would be on your list, too, Ralph.
Oh, sure.
Robert Durst, Fred Durst.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I like it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. None of the Dursts made the list today. Celebrity birthdays. Channing Tatum, however, is 36 years old. Stana Katic, the lovely and talented Stana Katic. Just another, there's one of my favorites right there. She's just adorable and sweet and talented. 38 years old. Tom Welling's 39. Kevin James is 51. And actor Jet Li celebrates his 53rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Have a listener who wrote in, Allie, who reminded me of who would fill out my list of my top five celebrities of all time. We were talking about it a couple of minutes ago, Ralph. It's Betty White.
Betty White.
Betty White.
Nope.
Thank you.
You forget Betty.
Nope.
I know. I love Betty.
Nope.
I love it. So many people on my list are going to be dead within the next 5 years.
Well, you know, stop being 100. Maybe that might help you out. Be less than 110 for a
Tracy
minute.
Tracy writes in, my top five, number five, Dave Grohl. Number four, Dave Grohl. Number three, Dave Grohl. Number two, Dave Grohl. Number one, Dave Grohl,
yeah.
Says Tracy.
It's hard to argue with that list.
Hard to argue with Dave Grohl. All right. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Siciliano joins us next hour, and Cain Velasquez talks UFC 200. That is all coming up. Plus, we do have tickets you can win next hour for Captain America Civil War in IMAX and 3D. How about that? Okay.
Oh, I didn't. Need to see
get
that.
Ralph
I gotta go
tissue. Let's talk about this story out of Arkansas. This is a guy who made a few errors when he stopped by the McDonald's and ended up behind bars. Let's hear the news report, please.
Police have charged a local teenager for an incident that happened at a Springdale McDonald's. The manager told police that three people filled up their cups at the soda machine and didn't pay. He says two returned the cups, one didn't. Manager said when he tried to stop them from driving away, they hit him with their car. Police arrested 18-year-old Cody Morris, the driver, and charged him with felony robbery. He'll now go before a judge on Friday.
Okay.
Wait
so
a minute. Hold on. Felony
yes.
robbery?
Yes. felony robbery. He went through, he and his friends went through the drive-thru at the McDonald's in Springdale, Arkansas, and asked for cups of water, which I assume are free, maybe?
Yeah, I believe it is, yeah.
Okay. So then they park, and they walk in, and they pour the water out, and they walk over to the self-serve soda machines, and they fill it up with soda.
Son of a bitches.
Which clearly is a violation of the rules at McDonald's. Clearly, they're not giving away free cups of soda. That's not how it works. And it sounds like he would have gotten away with it if he hadn't then tried to run over the manager with his car on the way out the door.
Like, so, going, Scoob, he's trying to drink soda.
Hello.
So he got arrested for stealing what would have been, I don't know, 2 cents worth of soda?
Because those water cups aren't like
the
big gulp size.
Right. Just,
that's a sippy cup.
It's like a Dixie cup, really.
Exactly, yeah. So that's the thing that he got arrested for, putting soda in a water cup charged with robbery. And that got us thinking about a topic we haven't done in a long time, and that is the smallest thing you got arrested for. In other words, you're serving time in the big house. You do not have an impressive story. When they say, what are you in here for? And you say, I left my washing machine out in my front yard. Yeah. And that's what they came and arrested me for.
Yeah.
There's a long list of things in this country that can get you arrested. For instance, there's a story I found today in Baytown, Texas. This is a kid who was arrested for missing too much school. In Texas, if you miss 10 or more days of class over a 6-month period, you can be arrested and sent to jail, and he was.
Well, that'll help his education.
Right.
Spending some time inside.
That does seem like more time away from school, doesn't it? So you can be arrested for truancy. Again, that's not the type of thing that impresses anybody on the cell block. So we want to take your calls of the smallest thing that you ever got arrested for. Now, we are looking for arrests, Ralph. That's what we want. You actually have to have been arrested, or could you have just been, you know, gotten a warning or
I think maybe it's just interaction with authorities because
– got in trouble for,
yeah,
shall we say.
Maybe got in trouble for. Because I have a couple – that certainly would apply, but I never actually was arrested. They did not print me and photograph me.
All right, so the police were involved,
yes.
And you can't believe, as you tell us the story, how minor your offense was. What's the smallest thing you ever got in trouble with the police for? We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I can't wait to find out what kind of a jailbird pass you have, Ralph.
I don't have a jailbird pass, okay? I was detained twice.
All right.
Go on.
Once was a kind
in your blowhole.
One was kind of a legitimate one. It was for impersonating a police officer. That one time, I kind of earned that one. But it wasn't like I was shaking down the liquor store owners for protection money or anything, pretending to be a cop. My buddy was going on a first date with a girl he really liked, and me and a few other friends thought it'd be funny. She didn't know who we were, so we thought it'd be funny to put one of those bubble lights on top of my friend's Crown Vic and screech up in the parking lot of the theater where they were coming out of the movie they'd just gone to, and jump out of the cars with toy guns and shoulder holsters and fake badges and everything.
Oh, no.
And pretend he was wanted and throw him against the car and frisk him and cuff him. We thought that would be a hilarious way to ruin his first date that he was really looking forward to.
It does sound hilarious,
it was
by the
hilarious,
way.
By
I
the
actually
way.
Support that.
It was completely hilarious until nobody thought to realize that perhaps also coming out of the theater at the same time might have been an off-duty police officer who saw all this going on and rushed to our aid to ask if we needed any help. And then once he got close to us, he realized there was a bunch of, 17-year-old kids with badges and guns and a bubble light on top of their car. And I did have to go down to the precinct to explain myself. And
By the way, my
parents had to come down and pick me up out of the holding cell. That all happened, maybe.
You put a lot of time and effort into a very clever prank.
It was a very clever prank, and I was also informed that it was very illegal at the time.
Oh, so now you can't pretend to be a police officer and wave around a fake gun.
Oh, they're so uptight.
That's what
Philadelphia PD.
That's what America has come to now. All right, so that was thing one. What
was thing
two?
Thing two was I was simply strolling around a neighborhood in my underwear, and the police who were in a patrol, they frowned on that. And I think they also frowned on the fact that when I saw them, I took off running and hid under an SUV.
Why were you in your underwear?
Well,
were your pants?
Alcohol was involved.
Okay.
And it was a high school party, and someone dared me to walk around the block in just my underwear and shirt.
Very reasonable, by the way.
And not being a coward, I, of course, took that dare, and I strolled around the block in just my jockey shorts and my shirt. And the police apparently frown on that. They don't want you just walking around the neighborhood just in your underwear. So I saw them, and I saw they saw me, so I took off and hid under an SUV, very obviously, apparently, because very quickly there were flashlights under the SUV saying, son, you want to step out here, please? And then they just they were very nice about it. They put me in the back of a patrol car and just took me back to the party. I didn't have to do any time for that one. But still, I wasn't naked. It wasn't indecent exposure or anything. I was just wearing small pants, really.
Were they like tidy whiteys?
Yes, of course.
So,
but no, what? If I had been
boxers, fine.
If I had been at the beach or something, would that have been a problem? If I was wearing a Speedo? No, nothing was showing. So why is the man hassling me? I can't help it if I'm massive and attention grabbing in my underwear. Can I?
I feel like this was a minor offense.
Oh, how dare you?
I feel like, Ali, you have a job where you just had to ask, in all seriousness, a coworker where his pants were. That just happened. All right. Great stories. 1-800-520-1067. By the way, the only time I ever got arrested in my whole life was something that is it's not uncommon, is it was a mistake. They thought my tags were expired. They saw my car in the parking lot, and they arrested me because they thought my tags were expired. And
they arrest for expired tags?
Had been expired for some time, according to the records, to the point where it hadn't been addressed. So a warrant had been put out for the arrest for this whoever owned this car. It wasn't me, and it wasn't my car. But I was arrested and went through the whole deal and spent a night in jail until the next day I went in front of a judge. And, you know, I had the research done and found out that it wasn't my car. They arrested the wrong person. Hmm. So I was just excused, and that was it. But that was sobering. I will tell you, when you do get arrested, you do think about all those movies you've seen where a guy goes in the hole, you know, for something he didn't do.
Wait, what
kind of movies are you watching?
Oh, we know.
In the hole. I mean, like,
I heard you the first time.
Very confinement where they throw you in a place with no other prisoners, and they, you know, they just come around for 1 minute a day to slide food under the door.
Damn, Daniel.
And then I was afraid. I mean, I did have visions. I didn't sleep a wink that night. I did have visions in that overnight that I was going to spend the rest of my life in that jail, even though I knew it was a mistake. You still worry that, you know, you do hear stories about people who go away for something they didn't do.
Little do these cops know they had the Green River Killer in their hands, and they just let him walk away because of a screw-up over some tags.
What's the smallest thing you ever got arrested for? 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one real quick before the break, and let's make it Robert, and it's going to be Wes Covina, please, on line 8. Robert, thank you for calling. What happened to you?
Me and about 7 friends, when we were 20, 21 years old, we ranged. We loved playing hide-and-go-seek, but we played really serious hide-and-go-seek. So we went to a middle school that was close by our house, and we went and played hide-and-go-seek at around 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, we saw this helicopter light come from above, and we heard all these police sirens. So we all slowly, strategically left the middle school, but the cop cars, like, jumped on the sidewalk and slid across the field on the middle school to stop us. And
why were they tipped off to you? Like, how did they even know you guys were there fooling around?
We don't know. We weren't, like, screaming or anything, but they came at us full charge. So we, like, were really calm, and we tried to, like, you know, oh, no, we were just, we're all just hanging out. And one of our friends just didn't leave the tree he was hiding in. So
Still in the tree?
Like, when we were, like, secretly counting who was still there in our heads, we went, oh, no, Kirk's not here. Okay, just stop mentioning him. Just don't mention him.
Yeah, that guy's trouble. So did anyone actually get arrested?
Nobody got arrested. They like, lined us up and sat us down and talked forever. And, like, the main sentence they said was, now, aren't you a little bit old to be playing hide-and-go-seek?
Yeah, I got that, too, with aren't you a little old to be playing cops and robbers? I got that, too, with my fake badge.
Well, we immediately said, no.
Right. And then cop said, Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. And then you all got to run away.
Robert, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. You got in trouble with the police for doing what? The tinier, the better. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us in minutes. I guess Tom Brady killed another guy or something. He's in jail. I don't know what the details are, but we'll talk to him about that. First, though, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about the smallest thing that got you in trouble with the police. Norma writes in, I was arrested because my friend shoplifted. We were at Macy's. We went into the dressing room, and she decided to put a blouse in her purse. As we walked out, we were both arrested. Even though I didn't do anything, I was charged with aiding and abetting because I didn't stop her, even though I didn't know she shoplifted. I don't know what they would have expected me to do. She was my ride home, and she was an adult who made her own decision. Anyway, I had to get a lawyer. I had to go to court to fight the charges. I ended up getting community service and 2 years probation because somebody else shoplifted.
That doesn't seem right.
Leonard writes in, I got arrested for possession of stolen property. I had a number 67 Carl's Jr. table number on the dash of my 67 Oldsmobile Cutlass. You know, when you go to Carl's Jr. and you make the order, they give you a little plastic number to put on your table so they can bring it out to you, right? When I got to the station, the arresting officer told me that it was a slow night and he had to train the rookie on how to book someone. The case was eventually dismissed by the district attorney. That's a guy who would have been arrested for possession of stolen property for something that probably cost 80 cents.
Yeah, and it wasn't even number 69. What were you doing? Come on, man.
All right, let's take a couple of calls, and let's start with Heather in Fullerton. She's up first. She's on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Heather, thank you for calling, my dear. What happened?
Well, I got in trouble for ice blocking.
What is that?
When you get, like, the big, they used to sell the big blocks of ice, and you would take them to a park and slide down a hill on top of the block of ice.
So right. Fun.
And what's the problem with that? Who could have any trouble with that?
Well, I guess we were trespassing after hours in a public park.
Oh, I see. In other words, you were just there when it was closed. It didn't have anything to do with the ice.
I guess not, but our screaming and yelling, like all the neighbors around and stuff like that had called in, and we ended up getting cited for it and had a notice to appear, so we had to go to court.
Oh, no.
And we had a public defender, and we had to enter a plea. All for sliding down the hill on the block of ice.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Robert, line 5, please. He's in Encino. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Robert, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? When I was younger, I hit a fire hydrant and left the scene, kind of went up the street to a friend's house. And DWP was looking at my car. I had yellow paint on my bumper, so it was kind of a dead giveaway. But I just left and didn't talk to them. And the police wound up showing at my house later, and I kind of ran away. They had the helicopter come and get after me.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole deal. I ran up the street, and then they thought I was absolutely insane and sent me to, while it was still operating, Camarillo State Mental Hospital.
Wait a second.
This took a turn that
this
I was
did
not
take,
expecting.
You were sent to a mental hospital because you hit a fire hydrant and ran away from it.
Yeah. When Camarillo was still operating, it's now.
I feel like there's something else in this story.
Really, Bean? That's your hot take?
My hot take is that there's a lot you're not telling me here. But we're going to leave it there, and thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right.
Terrified.
That was creepy. Let's try Nick Huntington Beach, please. He's line 7 up next to the Kevin and Bean Show. Nick, thank you for calling. What'd you get arrested for?
Skateboarding. Bunch of times. Yeah.
But I heard that skateboarding is not a crime. Was I misinformed?
That's what we've always stood for. But that's what it feels like when you get a ticket for skateboarding within 20 feet of an open business or destruction of property, you know. But I refused to pay my fine, so I went to jail probably 6 or 7 times growing up for skateboarding.
No kidding. Why was it something that you were willing to go to jail for? Why was it such an important point for you to make?
It turned into a game between a friend and I. We had a, not a bet, but a personal bet, just who could go to jail the most.
Nick, I feel like maybe different goals. I don't know.
Still skating 25 years.
How about that? You are a guy who is committed. I would just like to make this opportunity to say to the K-Rock advertisers, this is the kind of clientele that you can reach if you buy commercials on the Kevin and Bean Show. Nick, keep doing what you're doing, my friend. Thank you for the call. Dear Kevin and Bean, I am a deputy for L.A. County. I took someone to jail for spitting on a train platform. I know it's a misdemeanor, but he had no ID. He refused to be fingerprinted in the field, and he demanded to see a judge because, quote, I was violating his rights. So he spent the 4th of July weekend until he went to court, a 4-day weekend, all for spitting. I would have loved to have heard that conversation with his celly. That is, that's commitment to something. I'm not sure what. If you're going to stay in jail for 4 days because you don't want to produce ID after spitting on a train platform, why is he so committed to that, do you think?
Because he's a murderer.
Could be.
Yep.
I forgot.
Come on, Bean.
Why is the answer always murder with
because
you, Allie?
Because it's always right.
Mark Maron joins us in studio next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And in just a few minutes, we'll give you a chance to win some passes for Captain America Civil War. First, though, when I saw the words Deflategate show up on the news yesterday, I thought, wait a minute, that thing that happened back in the 50s, is that what we're still talking about here? Apparently Deflategate, you guys, the Tom Brady suspension for what may or may not have happened with the football during that game against Indianapolis, is still winding its way through the courts. And yesterday was a big day in the case, and I thought there's no one I want to explain this to me better than our good friend Andrew Siciliano, host of Around the NFL and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Hey, Andrew, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. You know that this is by far my most favoriteest thing in the world to talk about. You know that.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy. Thank you for making a rare springtime appearance on the Kevin Beach Show. How you been?
I'm okay, guys. We got the draft in 2 days. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's happening. All right. So were there a lot of people like me who thought that Deflategate, the whole issue, had been put to bed, that Tom Brady had appealed and he had won and he was playing and everything was fine and back to normal and it was done?
Well, yes and no. So, I mean, the league appealed, and the commissioner made it clear in an interview he did late last season that this isn't necessarily about Tom Brady. It's about the procedure, because Judge Berman, and again, we're having this conversation with the idea that I am not in any way a legal expert, but Judge Berman last September said basically the commissioner had too much power. He overstepped his power in giving Brady this 4-game suspension, right? He violated the terms that had been collectively bargained by the union and the league.
Okay, now let me stop you right there, Andrew, just for clarification here. Because of what you just said, that's why it's in a court and not just something that's being handled in workplace by the league. That's how it ended up spilling out from the NFL and going into a New York court, right?
Right, because Brady sued and said that he, being the commissioner, overstepped his authority, and he found a judge to say, you're right, Goodell overstepped his authority. Well, then the league appealed to a higher court, and the league and Goodell in an interview said, listen, this isn't about Brady. It's about protecting what we think we collectively bargained here in this CBA. And this second circuit court of appeals yesterday, 2-1, said, nah, Goodell acted totally within his rights. And if the union thinks he has too much power, why did the union negotiate and give him so much power?
It's unreal that the players essentially brought this on themselves. And now the terrifying thing for these players should be Goodell now has leeway to basically say, you did this, you're done for this many games, and they can't fight it anymore.
Well, Allie, you would argue that he had that power beforehand, mm-hmm. and that few debated that he had that power beforehand, and that Brady was the one who said, no, he shouldn't have that much power, and I am going to take it to court. So we're kind of back at square one. Now, he could basically appeal to all 13 judges on the Second Circuit Court of Appeals and ask for a vote as to whether or not he should get a new hearing. Okay, that makes sense? So he wouldn't actually appeal the whole thing. He would say, all 13 judges, even though only 3 of you are on this case, will you please have a show of hands, do you think I should get a new hearing? It's very rare that he would get that new hearing.
Right.
Although if they voted yes, then he could get a stay and he could hypothetically be on the field in September. His other option is to go to the actual Supreme Court, and less than 1% of attempts to get heard are ever taken. So,
okay, but insane. But if he did go to the Supreme Court, would he be the dreamiest person who has ever appeared in front of August? Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Remember the John Oliver thing last year about not having cameras in the Supreme Court, so he used dogs to recreate the Supreme Court? This would be the tipping point. This would be the
right case,
obviously, where cameras and real-time video were let in. Just
oh, yeah. America would demand it.
No,
they would demand it.
No, we can't put up with another horrible artist's rendering like we
right,
saw.
We saw what happened
year.
To him, right.
So essentially, this has nothing to do with footballs, nothing to do with guilt, nothing to do with innocence. This is strictly
it's labor relations.
But Allie, like on page 4 of this ruling yesterday, I took a screen grab and tweeted it out. Page 4 of this ruling, the judges basically say, we are not here, and I'm paraphrasing, this is pretty much the language, we are not here to determine whether or not he should have been suspended for 3 or should have been suspended for 5. We are not here to determine how much air was in the football. We are only here to determine whether or not his disciplinary process was collectively bargained and whether or not Goodell overstepped his authority. Yes.
Okay. So it's in Brady's court now?
I mean, he could come up with something no one's ever heard of. He could sue for defamation, but that wouldn't keep him off the field or put him on the field. There are a bad football analogy. There are many Hail Marys he can attempt, but all the legal experts that we've had on NFL Network, and I've heard on other outlets like ESPN, have basically said he doesn't have much of a shot. Now, look, he could call up the league and say, listen, you got me. Why don't we negotiate something? How about 1 game? How about 2 games? How about, you know, I plant trees all over New England? I mean, something. But I think that ship sailed at this point. I mean, they tried to get him to agree to a deal and cut this thing down months and months and months, if not 15 years ago. Or the league, you know, look, the league, and I think this is highly unlikely, the league could throw up its hands and say, listen, we proved our point. We've regained authority as we thought should have never lost it. Tom Brady, just admit you're wrong and go play football week 1. But I also doubt that.
That's not going to happen either, yeah. The good news is, of the 4 games that Tom Brady will miss if it stands the way it is now, at least one of them is against the Dolphins when he won't be needed, right?
Woo! Oh, Chip. Well, it's 2 division games. It's
And if Kevin were here, you would note that his first game is on national TV on Sunday on the road at Arizona, which is a somewhat significant game.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I'm the noted Browns fan here in the room, Tom Brady's first game back will be week 5 on the road against Robert Griffin III and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a break. That Browns game couldn't have been one of the 4 he would miss.
No. If RG3 is still healthy in the quarter.
I mean, here's what we can all agree on. Jimmy Garoppolo is the hottest backup quarterback. Am I right?
And how about this? I mean, will people stop messing with Jimmy Garoppolo's emotions?
Oh, the poor kid. I mean,
he's not going to play. Then he thinks he's going to play, and then Tommy may come up with a different set of lawyers. Dan Shaughnessy, who I don't know if Bostonians still like anymore, but he wrote a great piece in the Boston
Haven't liked
Post
him for
morning.
Years.
Look it up. Okay. But, you know, I like the analogy. He said, basically, the Patriots are the 72 Nixon White House. Okay, you could have beaten McGovern without any break-ins.
Right.
You could have beaten McGovern without any eavesdropping. You were the better team, but you had to do it.
You had to
do it. And then you said you didn't do it, and then you covered it up.
The guy's a That's hack. Right. That's why we hate him.
And it's absolutely true. It's 100% true. All right, Andrew, I knew you would bring this into sharp focus for us. So do you think this is going to be the end of it? It doesn't make any sense for them to continue to appeal, does it?
I do think they will try something. George Atala, who is the head of the players' union, went on the radio today and said, sorry to tell you, but this ain't over yet. But he wouldn't say how it ain't over yet. So they'll try something. I just, you know, again, I'm not the lawyer here, but talking to those who are, they say he doesn't have much of a leg to stand on anymore.
Andrew is going to be the, as always, on Around the NFL and the NFL Network this afternoon at 3, if that's still your time, Andrew. And am I going to be sitting next to you at the Weenie Roast in a couple of weeks?
Yes, absolutely. And if you guys want to come down to the Rams LA Live Draft Night Rally on Thursday night, I'll be down there on stage whooping it up as well.
That is very exciting for Rams fans. I love that new merchandise, by the way. It's really they did a really cool job with the logo and everything, I think.
Yeah, very cool.
You going to ram it?
Andrew's going to ram it. You know that.
Watch.
All right, man. Thanks for jumping on. We'll see you soon. Thanks, Andrew.
Bye.
I've been thinking too much. A bullet for you. A bullet for you. A bullet for everybody in this room.
Wow.
Hey, Mark Maron next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we are also going to give away tickets for Captain America Civil War.
Da-da-da!
This is a big deal, Ralph. Oh. This is the IMAX headquarters on May 4th, 2 days ahead of seeing it in theaters everywhere on May 6th. It's K-Rock's exclusive IMAX 3D advanced screening of the most anticipated film of the year. What are we looking for right now to give away these tickets?
Let me tell you something before you you bulldoze me into sure. giving away information.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. This movie, most anticipated film of the year for me. Cannot wait to see this film. However, let me explain to you what happens when you go to the IMAX headquarters. Mm-hmm. Imagine it. Imagine IMAX all over the place when you go to see an IMAX movie, how nice those theaters are. This is the headquarters of IMAX. What do you think their theater is like?
Not shabby.
Super nice.
It's the superhero of movie theaters.
Oh.
It's like Captain America of movie theaters.
Not the Iron Man?
Physical perfection. No, Iron Man has got to put on a suit, man. Caps for real, yo. Okay. Anyway, I've seen movies there. This is a remarkable opportunity for you to see this film on the big IMAX screen at the headquarters on May 4th, days before it comes out. This is a very cool thing. So what we're going to do is after the top of the hour, we are going to have a little Captain America trivia contest like Ooh. We do. And I thought since it's Cap and it's a celebration of 75 years of Cap this year, as well as the movie, we take a look at the family of characters surrounding Captain America, his friends, his compatriots, his villains. Everybody in the Captain America universe is fair game in this next trivia game. So if you know your Captain America stuff from the comic books, you can call us when we play the game just after the top of the hour.
1-800-520-1067. We're looking for you nerds this time around.
How
a nerd alert.
Nerd alert indeed. Where is the IMAX headquarters? Where are
it's,
they?
It's Culver
Century City?
City. Century City-ish.
Oh, okay.
It's on the west side.
Yeah.
It's on the west side. Sort of near the airport, but not quite like the Howard Hughes Parkway kind of area.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to win these tickets to see the Captain America Civil War ahead of it opening everywhere on May 6th. First, though, let's take a look at what else is going on in Hollywood. Here's Ralph.
It's going to happen. Megyn Kelly versus Donald Trump. Megyn Kelly has picked up an interview with the Donald for her Fox Broadcast Network primetime special coming up on May 17th.
They settled their feud, right? She's no longer a lightweight, horrible interviewer.
We'll find out if they've settled their feud or not. Because she's going to bring it, I'm sure. This is, you have to keep in mind, this is a man who has slammed her since that first GOP debate. When she took him to task for a few things. The fact that he had called women fat pigs and dogs and slobs and disgusting animals.
Mm-hmm. How dare she ask him questions and have stuff
up?
To back it up.
Right.
So rude.
Just drop that neckline and look pretty, Megan.
Right? That's your job.
So we'll wait and see what...
how about that whole deal?
Looking forward to that interview myself. Shark Week
Go home. Get a job. Get a job.
I think she already has a job, Donald. She's on Fox News.
Go home to mommy.
I think that has to happen.
These are not people. Just remember that.
She is a person. Just because she's a woman doesn't make her not a person, Donald.
He's got a lot of issues with a lot of things, doesn't he?
Sure does. Have you seen the list of cast members that Showtime rolled out yesterday for David Lynch's upcoming Twin Peaks revival?
Yes.
What a fascinating bunch of actors. I mean, we'd heard dribs and drabs as they were sort of were casting who was going to be in the show, but... There's 217 new cast members. I'm not making that number up. It's crazy. You got your returning favorites. Kyle MacLachlan, of course, returns as Dale Cooper. David Patrick Kelly is also returning. Harry Dean Stanton will be back.
Farrah Abramson?
She's not in the cast at all.
I didn't know Harry Dean Stanton was still alive, by the way. That was a surprise.
What?
Just haven't heard about him in years.
And people say, well, he wasn't in Twin Peaks. Ah, ha, ha, ha. You ever see Fire Walk With Me, the feature film sequel to the series? He's in that predominantly. Although, amongst the many returning cast members, of which Lara Flynn Boyle not coming back, which
That's
I thought was interesting.
Disappointing.
Piper Laurie also not returning.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know what's up there, but I get the sense there's some bad blood.
Huh.
But almost everyone else is coming back. But also, you get Monica Bellucci.
Yeah.
Laura Dern.
Love.
Balthazar Getty.
Uh-huh.
Ernie Hudson, Ashley Judd,
Jesus
did not make the cut. Matthew Lillard, Trent Reznor,
yes,
no,
yes,
Eddie Vedder,
yes,
no to that too.
Come on.
Amanda Seyfried,
yeah,
Tom Sizemore.
Well, all right.
David Lynch himself is commenting on these cast members. Naomi Watts?
Yes.
And get this, my buddy, I even know this, and he's a friend of mine, David Koechner is going to be in the cast.
What?
No.
Yes, he is, David. It says it right here on the list.
And David Duchovny.
Well, of course, Duchovny's coming back. I counted him as one of the returning cast members, mm-hmm. Yeah. But
what about Jim Belushi?
Jim Belushi, you're right, also what in the lineup. Hell? Jim Belushi. Not everything's perfect. Allie, what do you want?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, Kevin. He's been in the running. Come on, man. Anyway, I'm very excited about this, but I still think we have to wait till like 2017 or something, don't we? So maybe my my excitement should be tabled.
I would.
Hey, back 2017 will be here before you know it, man.
I don't want to hear that.
It's only 8 months away.
They're asking here to sell for Captain America. Did we not do that, or is that an old message?
Yeah, okay. We got all the calls are on hold. We're ready to go.
Take that off my screen. Confuses me. That and Andrew Siciliano on red. Also, that needs to go away. All right. Today's celebrity birthday is Channing Tatum's 36 years old today. Tom Welling. You probably know him best as young Clark from Smallville. Clark Kent. That was a really well done Superman show. You never showed Superman. It was fascinating. Mm-hmm.
What did Tom Welling go on to do when that show
folded? He was never, I think, comfortable with his fame and sort of stepped back. He still acts from time to time, mm-hmm. but he is not. He did not cash in on that wellspring of fame and sort of propel himself. I got the sense he was always like a family guy and was all about his kids and stuff. And I got the
He's
sense,
on Family Guy?
No, come on, Gilligan.
Bruce.
Stana Katic is 38 years old today. Speaking of Superman shows, real quick, and since we're in a geek mode, Supergirl, this most recent episode of Supergirl, anybody mm-hmm. catch yes. it besides me?
No.
They had Superman in it, which was awesome.
Huh.
But he was unconscious in the episode. So all you saw was his boots from like his knees down, him laying on a table being unconscious while she's like talking to somebody, sees Superman in the background just like hanging out, just like passed out with his boots on.
Was he roofied?
No, he wasn't roofied.
Story?
It was Myriad. Myriad, the Kryptonian... computer virus, Allie, that projected the brain-controlling signals from Fort Roz, and it powerfully went into people's brains and made them mindless zombies. And because of Superman's long-term exposure to Earth's atmosphere, he was also susceptible to the brainwaves.
What about Matter Eater Labs?
Stop it. See? Why do I even bother explaining things to you? You don't take me seriously.
Is he dead?
No, he's just unconscious. So Supergirl had to step up and save the world.
Allie, stop asking questions.
Okay.
Stana Katic's 38 years old today. Kevin James is 51. And Jet
Kevin Lee. James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
I got a list. Jet Li. Jet Li, for example, funnier. He's 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey!
Not yet.
But right now, let's jump right into something brand new from Franz Ferdinand. You know Franz Ferdinand.
Franz Ferdinand?
Big K-Rock kind of guy.
He sure is.
He's the best guy I know.
Of course, I played him first. Right. But here he is.
Here he is, indeed. Yeah. Franz Ferdinand
You played
K-Rock.
Him first. You know who he is.
He's something else, that Franz Ferdinand.
He's very good.
Rodney probably knew the original Franz Ferdinand, by the way.
What?
Aww. It's Tuesday morning. Mark Maron later this hour
John
on the Kevin Beach Show. First,
ages.
Though, let's give away some of those tickets that you were advertising for Captain America Civil War. You get to see it at the Big Deal Theater at IMAX headquarters on May 4th. It's in theaters everywhere on May 6th. This is a K-Rock exclusive IMAX 3D advanced screening for you right now.
So good.
With a game that we like to call Captain's Family. We got it. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Disco Omar. What is that? We have the callers on the line, Ralph. What is the premise of the Captain's Family?
We're looking at the family of Captain America characters. The family of characters that populate Captain America's comic book universe. His friends, his co-workers, his villains,
his lovers,
anyone in the Captain America family is fair game for this trivia question. So if you know Captain America and his long 75-year history in comic books, then you should know these characters from Captain's Family.
All right.
Captain's family.
Right. All right, get it right, and you go into the drawing. Someone will win the passes at the end of the segment, and we'll take them in order, please, Chip, starting with Art on line one. He is in Ontario. Ralph, meet your first contestant.
Art, here's your question. This Captain America villain was one of the top scientists in the Nazi Party. He created many weapons of mass destruction for Hitler, including Adhesive X, which backfired on him, causing his hood to be permanently glued to his face.
Oh, my God.
I hate it when that happens.
Adhesive X was the strongest adhesive in the world, created by this Captain America villain. Do you
you're
know
making
him?
Weapons for the Nazis, and the next thing you know, your hood is glued to your face.
It's a nightmare. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Would it be Baron Zemo?
Baron Zemo!
Yes! Good job.
Well done. You're in the drawing. Or does he win? What happens?
He's in the drawing.
Okay. We got five pairs, though, I think, don't we?
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. You win. There is no drawing.
Art is going.
All right. Joel would like to go also. He's up next on line two, please.
All right, Joel. All right. Joel, here
you
go.
Morning.
This member of a captain's family was his best friend and sidekick for many years and was brought back from supposed death as the villainous assassin, the Winter Soldier.
Bucky Barnes.
Bucky Barnes! Well done, sir. You're going to see the movie.
Two for two. Nice job, you guys.
These are my people right here.
Alex in Anaheim, line three.
Alex?
Yes.
This member of Cap's family was first the commander of the Howling Commandos during World War II, but then became the leader of the fictional spy agency, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury, indeed.
Wow.
Colonel Nick Fury.
Well done, Alex. Enjoy the film. You'll be seeing it a couple days ahead of it opening on May 6th, playing for Captain America Civil War tickets. Stephanie is up next. I've never talked to a guy named Stephanie before. This is going to be
not
really weird.
Guy,
she's Bean. A woman.
Out in Carson, I assume it's going to be a boy. Hey, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Stephanie.
Oh, your voice must be so unfortunate as a man.
Stephanie, please tell Bean there are geek girls out there.
There are geek girls out there.
Are you a Captain America fan?
I am so very much.
Well, coincidentally, this next question is a feminine question. This member of the Captain's family is a secret agent known as Agent 13 and often the girlfriend of Captain America. She's also the niece of the wartime love interest of Captain America. Do you know who we're talking about?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Secret agent and girlfriend of Captain America. Not ringing any bells, huh, Stephanie? I told you guys she was a fraud.
Come on, Dean.
An imposter.
Looking for Sharon Carter. Sharon Carter's captain's girlfriend. Yeah.
Thank you anyway,
Stephanie.
Let's try Marco, please, in Burbank. He's up next, line five.
Marco, hi. This member of Captain's family is his occasional sidekick who uses mechanical wings to fly and has telepathic control over birds, including his best pal named Redwing.
Falcon.
The Falcon. That's absolutely correct.
All right, 4 out of 5. Congratulations. We've got one pair left, and let's make it Jared in Corona if he's got the right answer on line 6, please.
All right.
Jared, this
yes.
Nazi general was a confidant of Adolf Hitler. He is closely affiliated with Hydra and was also had his mind placed into a clone of Captain America's body, making him a match for him in every way. Who is this villain of Captain America?
I would have to go with Red Skull.
Red Skull!
Yes!
Correct. Well done, sir.
That is a very realistic-sounding plot point, too, by
How
the way, with
the Red
Skull.
How dare you, sir.
I got to tell you. Congratulations to Art and Joel and Alex and Marco and Jared. All five will be in the theater along with you, Ralph Garman, for the KROQ exclusive IMAX 3D advanced screening of Marvel's Captain America Civil War at the Big Deal Theater, IMAX headquarters, May 4th, in theaters everywhere, May 6th. Congratulations all, and thank you for playing Captain's Family. Hey, producer Dave, King of Mexico.
Hey.
Dave's got his annual sad Clipper fan face on right now.
It's not even sad Clipper fan face. It's devastated Clipper fan. You think you got it bad? Your team is making you sad. I'm a Clipper fan. Sadness is all that I've ever had. I'm a sucker for dunks and a glutton for punishment. All right. Clipper basketball. Can't get enough of it.
Yesterday, we took a call on Kevin Bean's What's Good, where somebody was also a Clipper fan, was wondering how you were feeling about Portland, and they had lost the game. They were down, what, 2-1, I think, I want to say?
Clippers were up 2-1, yeah.
Up 2-1, and you were feeling really good about it.
Yeah, it was game four, was last night, and I was feeling pretty good. Like, I was like, all right, they'll take last night's game, which they didn't, and, you know, they'll win on Wednesday night, and then the series is over, moving on to Golden State. are
what happened last night, Dave? Because I've watched this clip multiple times, and I can't see how a man breaks his hand on that play.
Chris Paul literally broke a hand on a guy's butt. That's what happens.
It happens, you guys.
Allie's speaking from experience. Right. You know, you're putting your hand in a man's shorts. The next thing you know, you fracture your right hand.
Oh, it is a devastating loss.
What describe it. Describe it for folks, Dave.
Well, I believe in the third quarter, Chris Paul went for a steal and got the ball. But at the same time, the player ran into DeAndre Jordan, and Chris Paul's right hand was kind of stuck in his in the back of his shorts. Mm-hmm. So he fell. He's not Kanye right here. So his behind, and then he pulled away. And at that point, that's where he probably broke his hand.
And that is just a freak occurrence, right?
It is a really, really, really freak
occurrence. It's definitely broken. Like the
hand
is
broken. Yeah.
It's they took him back, and I don't know if they have an X-ray machine,
they
but whatever.
Do, yeah.
So he was attended to by the team's athletic trainer, and they saw him, you know, walking out of the arena with a cast on, you know, with a sling and with a cast. So he is out for the rest of the season.
He knew it. They're saying the rest of the playoffs.
I don't watch a lot of basketball. Do you need your hands? Is it an important thing?
Well, he's a right-handed shooter. He broke his right hand, so that's
a problem.
That's pretty bad, yeah.
A lot of people are saying the Warriors are deep enough that they can beat some teams with Steph Curry out with his foot. The Clippers, not so much without Chris Paul?
Well, he is our best player. And to make matters worse, Blake Griffin also re-injured his hamstring yesterday.
Hootie punch.
Blake Griffin, by the way, a guy who shows up as much as Kevin shows up on this show. Like, you're lucky when he's there and now he's getting hurt again?
Well, these two losses are the first two losses that the Clippers have had since Blake has returned.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. So not only that, J.J. Redick also has bad feet and can't move as well as
hands, feet, and a hamstring. All three very important for basketball?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so put a percentage on it right now, Dave. As a Clippers fan, your level of optimism to get past Portland to face even if it ends up being Golden State.
And Pablo, we trust. Pablo Prigioni, the backup point guard.
So you're feeling all right?
I'm feeling fine. I still believe, man. I still believe we'll get past this round, but Golden State is going to be way tougher without our man CP3.
I think, actually, we do have a dissenting opinion on the line.
Clippers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, there's always next year. Thanks, Dave.
Nah.
It is always a thrill when our next guest stops by to visit the Pete and the Pig show. He is Mark Maron, the host of many things, including the WTF podcast, of course, for all these years. That's the shortest version of that theme song I've ever heard.
Just one lick.
Quick.
One lick.
One lick. That's all you get. Little riff.
Do you want it again?
Yeah, give it to me again, Chip. All right. Are we paying by the second or something? Are we licensing this through IFC?
It can't cost that much. I'll tell you that.
Season 4 premiere next Wednesday night on IFC. Mark, is that you? That's you playing guitar on that, right?
No, it's not. It's a band called Four on the Floor. I should have done that. That would have been the smart thing to do. But I don't remember whether it was an option. It could have been an option, but music's tricky.
You're paying somebody for something you could have done yourself.
Maybe,
not to take anything away from
their
work.
I don't know. I'm no studio pro. I don't, you know, it's not like I just, that's a whole band in a studio with a guy on the knobs and you work it out. And sometimes I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
But it sounds like me.
It does.
I'm thinking about doing a new version of the theme for the WTF podcast with Ty Siegel. Well, I haven't told him yet, but he lives down the street from me, and he said he wanted to jam, and I think it would be fun to do that.
And he's a guy who can make an album a day. He's so prolific, right? So he can definitely work you in.
Yeah, he definitely does make a lot of records. But I play on my podcast now at the end. I noodle, and I've committed to my amateur guitar playing at the end. And then people who want to stay and hang out for it do.
I admire that part of your podcast. I like it when you play, and I know how much joy it brings you. And I am surprised that you, and forgive me if I'm wrong about this and you've done it, but it seems like you haven't taken the next step, which is to put yourself together a little band and go out there and actually play for people.
Sure, that's what the world needs, another 52-year-old guy and a bunch of his his old broken dreamed musician friends to get together once a week and maybe put a record out.
Right. But aren't there a million actors who do that?
Well, I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think, there's the point. And I'm not even a big enough actor for it to be sad. Like, you know, people might see it as a legitimate career option for me. I mean, I've thought about it, man. I'd like to play with some guys, you know, just to do it once a week. It seems like something I should do. But every time you get into that situation, it's no different than when you did that in high school. It gets too loud very quickly. You only know two songs. There's a problem with me where it's sort of like, well, that guy, he's playing, like, he's got to be getting bored, the bass player. So
the bass player.
Right? Mm-hmm. The drummer seems okay, but the bass player can't.
Always.
But I may do it. I mean, I'm not ruling that out, but I'm not going to do anything for public consumption yet.
I gotcha. I love that I could bring up something that is your true passion, and you can figure out a way to just crap all over it and make it awful.
Well, that's the reason why I never the confidence necessary just to do comedy really just fully arrived about 5 years ago. So that's 20 years in.
Wow.
So the idea that music would just be like, I like to play by myself for a little while. But then when you get into a rehearsal space and, you know, I got to be in charge. Am I going to sing? I don't mind singing. But then perfectionism comes in. It's like, let's do that song the 12th time and really nail it. And then it's like, for what reason?
Too much trouble.
Well, I played with Steve Jones on the air yesterday, but it was he just runs his little radio show there. But yeah, I was playing with the guitar player of the Sex Pistols, which is not nothing.
Yeah,
it's not nothing. Exactly. Yeah. What were your thoughts, Mark, on the Steve Miller controversy after the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction a couple of weeks ago?
Well, you're going to have to refresh my memory because apparently I don't give a crap.
Okay. All right. I assumed that you were a fan of his and the Black Keys, being a guitar guy, so I thought that's a story you probably followed.
Well, Steve Miller, I don't know what age difference you and I are, but you know, there was Steve Miller for years of my childhood, and I don't remember which years they were, was really literally unavoidable. Like, at any time, anywhere, some Steve Miller song would come on. So I know the songs.
But you didn't hate that, though, either. You enjoyed them, right?
Fly like an eagle.
Right?
I'm a joker.
Right?
I'm a smoker. I'm a midnight. Yeah, I mean, it's in there. it's not that I don't like him. I actually have a couple of his old records when he had the Steve Miller Band with Boz Scaggs and that.
Right.
But with Steve Miller, he seemed to be holding something back. Like, it was too smooth, man. I didn't hear any pain in the Steve Miller.
Yeah, and his most popular records were heavily produced, too.
That's it. It definitely had a specific...
They were definitely studio records.
Yep. Well, what was the controversy? Let's take up the time to discuss that.
He had a lot of complaints about the way he felt he was treated, the number of tickets that were available for him and his band and for guests. He was complaining about not enough women being in the Rock Hall. He was complaining about them just being, you know, shuffled in and out of there like cattle. He just didn't think there was much respect. He thought they were all doing it for the money.
Really? You're talking about the music business? This is shocking.
Yeah. Basically, everything he said was right on. And then the Black Keys were asked to induct him.
Yeah.
And they were stoked because apparently, for some reason, Steve Miller is a hero to these guys.
Sure, sure.
And Steve Miller's response was he didn't know who the Black Keys were. The Black Keys got super offended that Steve Miller didn't take the time to get to know who they were.
It was douchebag versus
douchebag.
Don't they know that Steve's busy?
It's just he's
in his studio at home, really thinking about that next record.
Right. It was just ugly, you know, because that's a joyous night for rock fans to see all of those people, to see Cheap Trick get back together and all the other stuff that happens on shows like that. And they're going to air it on HBO this weekend.
Wow.
But it kind of brought everybody down a little bit that fight kind of broke out at the thing. So.
I hope they bounce back.
I hope the Rock Hall bounces
back. And everyone should be patient because everyone will get in eventually.
Right. Mark Maron is here, by the way. Season 4 premiere of the new season of Maron is 9 o'clock next Wednesday, IFC. And I love what you did, because we had the opportunity to see the first couple of episodes early. I loved how you kind of rebooted it a little bit by kind of starting in a very surprising place for season four. Mark.
Well, it really was a choice. You know, when you do the basic cable or any network TV, I would assume, is that you really don't know when the axe is going to drop or if it's going to drop. So each season sort of has to be a complete thing. And at the end of last season, it was not good. I relapse on painkillers, and it ends with me on the floor, you know, babbling and blowing a big opportunity. So when they renewed the show coming back into the season, I was like, well, I didn't want to be attached to the same world. There's no need for it. It's not like there's syndication money or anything. So there's no reason to repeat stories or, you know, just go back to what we had. So I thought there's only one way I'm going to do this, and is if we do something completely different and take some chances. So I thought, why not have a cautionary tale of a season where we just pick up as if Mark in the show just kept using oxys for a year. So at this point, you know, he's living in a storage unit, and his friends have to reach out and, you know, make him sort of take the action necessary to get clean, to get sober, and then figure out what he's going to do with his life.
Could you really get away with living in a storage unit? Is that something that people have done?
Ask people in bands. I think it's what you were telling me to do with my life about 10 minutes ago.
Why does he want you to go backwards?
I don't at all. Is there any, this may sound like a super dumb question because you're a professional writer and actor, so I'm sure you're able to keep your personal life separate from the Mark Maron you play on TV.
Sometimes, not the first three seasons.
Did it feel awkward and uncomfortable for you as a sober guy to be playing a drug addict?
Well, yes, but not really uncomfortable. I sort of embraced it. You know, opiates were not my thing, and opiates now are a tremendous problem. And I could kind of – I've done opiates, so I knew the sense of what they could do in terms of physically. But it wasn't that uncomfortable. It was actually kind of exciting because this is – on some level, though, it's a comedy and a dark comedy. This is how people get hooked on these things, especially guys with a lot of sobriety, and it happens a lot, where, you know, you got a back problem, you have surgery, you prescribed oxy or something similar, and you slip. You just slip. It all takes is one renegotiation with your disease to say, like, you know, I'm only supposed to take two, but I don't think I feel quite right, so I'm just going to pop one other one, and then it's over. It's because, you know, once that starts to shift. So it wasn't doing the drugs wasn't really hard. It is really kind of fathoming that very real and possible scenario for a lot of people and trying to handle recovery and addiction with the respect and fear that it should put in people.
Well, as a person who's never experienced addiction, and I'm like Ali,
I'm sorry. It's so exciting when you're really into it. I mean, it's like a job that you like.
No, like Ali, you have it in your family, so you know a lot more about addiction than I do because you've seen it personally up close. I've always been fascinated with, as an outsider, that thing that addicts say that is apparently so true, which is it doesn't matter if you've been sober 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, you really are always one day away from relapsing. And that you really address that kind of on the show, which I thought was really interesting for me to see because I had trouble understanding how that happens.
Well, it's one of those. Well, it's very easy. You take a drink and you put it to your lips and you pour it down your mouth. And the thing is like for someone like you, it's like, how is that a problem? Yeah,
right.
You don't have
you just
to
stop.
Problem.
You just take one drink and you're done.
Well, you know, fortunately, alcohol and drugs are it's really the better of the addictions because if you have food problems or sex problems, I mean. You kind of have to do those. You don't have to drink and do drugs. So the abstinence part about it and the discipline around that, you know, is manageable once you get into the groove. But the assumption is that you know, you sort of pick up right where you left off because why wouldn't you? And a lot of something that happens to the guys and women who have a lot of sobriety is that, you know, they're old now, especially if you have long-term sobriety. A lot of those people that go out, it doesn't end well. It ends in death, and it's a very ugly thing because they're old people now. That's how it happens, man, is that you get 15 years sobriety and you're like, maybe I wasn't really an alcoholic.
Because it's so long ago you forgot.
Maybe I can handle it. That's kind of like failing algebra in high school and going, I'm older now. I could probably manage the symbols and numbers. How hard could it be? I was younger.
Is it for you, Mark, and how long are you sober now?
16 years.
Is it for you literally a daily struggle? Is it something that you have to?
No, it's not. I mean, one of the things they promise you, and I can testify to without dragging recovery into it, is that the obsession will definitely fade, if not go away completely. That's the great gift of recovery, if it works, is that one day you don't think about it anymore. I work around booze. I'm in nightclubs. I don't think about booze. I don't have any cravings. Of course, I've drank 4 cups of coffee already, and I've had 2.5 nicotine lozenges, but it's manageable, man. You know, you got to pick your poison and do what you have to do to manage your dumb life. But sobriety does get easier, and your brain comes back, and it is something that you can definitely do.
No, it's working for you because you sound very relaxed and very stress-free right
now. Oh, my God! what's weird is, like, you know, when you use Waze in this city.
All right. Save that thought, Barbara. We got to take a quick break. Mark Meredith is here. Season 4 comes back to IFC next Wednesday night at 9. More with our guest in a moment on K-Rock. He is a comedian, podcaster, also the creator, producer, writer, and actor of Marin on IFC, returning for Season 4 on Wednesday, 9 o'clock. Was there a part of you that was hoping the show wouldn't be renewed because it's so damn much work, Mark? Or were you like, fingers crossed, I want to do another one?
Well, I was ready to let it go, certainly, on some level, because it is hard. We do work at a fairly, you know, restrictive budget. And this season was insanely ambitious for what we wanted to do. I mean, literally, there's no podcasting in this season. So it was very story heavy and it took a lot of work. No, I like doing it. But after a certain point, when you hear the stories about the old days of TV, it's like, where's the big payoff? You know, like in some ways, it's great to be working, and IFC gave me a tremendous amount of creative freedom. But it is challenging to work at a budget when you really want to do things. Like, you know, I wanted a song. You know, like the theme song and a lot of the music we get is from music licensing companies, and a lot of the bands are great. But for the last moment of the series, I had a song in mind. I had a sound in mind. And, you know, just to get an Iron and Wine song was a budgetary, like, challenge. So
when you tune into Vinyl on HBO, does your head explode that they do one superstar after another for 60 full minutes in the music?
Well, that's just what I was going to say. You watch HBO where there's this unlimited resource of what they call money, and you hear all the music that it really plays an important part in a lot of stuff. And like I said, the music we do is great, but just to get one song that had, by an artist that's already established, by a record that's already out. It was, yeah, well, watching Vinyl is challenging for a lot of reasons. But but they did use it. Did you hear at the back of the last, I think it was in the finale, they used a Fleetwood Mac song from Kiln House.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, they used Jewel-Eyed Judy, which is a great song. It's like the album right after Peter Green split. Mm-hmm. So it's Spencer, Kerwin, Fleetwood, McVie, you know, before the girls, before the women came in. And it's this great.
Before they ruined it, before the girls came in and screwed up that band.
It's so funny because I'm a huge Peter Green fan, a huge early Fleetwood Mac fan, and most people have no idea what that band was before.
That it was a blues band.
Before
right.
Rumors.
Right. Exactly.
So you're just avoiding the whole Waze thing. You're trying to just move me through the traffic angst because you're like, we can't have another idiot come in here and talk about the journey. All I want to say is there's a couple benefits to Waze is that you can't half sleep through a slow highway. You got to be engaged because you're going places. You're making turns. You're like running from something. And the weird thing is that the one thing I realized about Waze today is like, you got to commit because you don't know how to get back to the way you know.
Right.
You don't know how to, like, how do I get back to the 110? What's the 110? You're in a different land.
They do. They take you down the L.A. River at some point. Right. You just got to go with it.
Completely useless information. You're like, I got to remember this. No. It's not even a practical shortcut for anything.
Mark, you seem like a guy who is going to get to where Rogan did at one point, which is just, I can't even. I have to go live on top of a mountain in Colorado. I just can't do it anymore.
I have to go live on top of a mountain in Colorado, put a fence around it, buy a few really nice cars, and just not leave.
Right, exactly.
No, Joe has gotten more like that, and he's, and you got to respect him for it. He's built his own world. He's got his own little empire. And he's
goes out there and hunts his own food.
Yeah, he's comfortable with it. Yeah, well, that part is a little rough. You see his Instagram of just, him holding fish and grilling things. But that's Joe's thing.
Are you a guy who has trouble leaving the house?
Not really, as long as it's not too far.
Okay, all right. Because, you know, again, anytime you're playing, anytime I see someone who's playing a hyper-realistic version of himself on TV, you never know what's real. You know what I mean? You never know which is the real mark and which is the TV mark.
You know, I'm very busy. So, like, and, you know, when you're self-employed and, you know, I do stand-up and then when I'm doing the show, I'm doing the show. And then I have two podcasts I drop. So when I'm at home and I'm not doing the show, I'm interviewing people. I'm working on my stand-up. I'm, you know, responding to emails, which is another full-time job. I never really understood when I had friends who were more successful than me who didn't respond to my email. I'd be like, oh, that guy's a, why isn't he? And now, like, I get a lot of emails, and all of a sudden you get that one email. It's like, why don't you, you don't like me anymore? And I'm like, I don't even remember your email. So it's got nothing to do with that. But like today, I got to go home. I'm actually going to interview Kamasi Washington later this afternoon.
Oh, wow.
And I got Chris Gethard coming in. I had Rob Reiner at the house yesterday. I had Gary Marshall over the other day. So there's, you know, and each one of those interviews is going to take up, even if it's only an hour and a half, there's, you know, an hour on either side of that to kind of think and pace and drink coffee. And also I do a lot of cleaning and cooking. That seems to be what I like to do with my free time for no real reason other than it occupies me.
This Kamasi Washington, by the way, for folks who don't recognize the name, he is the jazz artist that kind of became famous recently because Kendrick Lamar sampled him all over the place. But he is a tremendously talented and interesting guy. That's going to be a great podcast.
Next level. He's the new guy. He's doing a jazz thing that thank God it's not fusion. It's something that completely honors the legacy and history of the jazz that I know, which isn't much. And he did this. His first record is three albums. So yes. He means business.
He does.
Epic, it's called.
When you got all that publicity last year after having the president to the garage,
yeah.
You said, well, now there's no excuse for anybody I ever go after to say no to the podcast.
Wow, did I say that?
You did. Because if Barack Obama can do it,
self-important,
you can do it. I wondered if it worked out that way for you, Mark, where you found people that you hadn't been able to get were suddenly saying yes.
Did you not hear me say I had Rob Reiner over?
I heard that. You think that's one of them? You think the president's the reason that happened?
It actually is. Yeah, because I was talking to him because he asked me the same question. Like, do you have more access to people? I said, I got you. Yeah, I've been wanting to get you. I think more than anything else, it elevated the medium that people know it's a real thing. You know, for years, you know, people would come over and they the publicist would tell them where to go and they'd get there and they're like, what is this? Where am I? Are we on camera or we're not on camera? What are we doing? So I think the evolution of WTF and the president situation was that it made people, a lot more people aware that podcasting is a real thing. And certainly in our business, yeah, people like to come over, not even because they want to do the show. So many people now walk in and go, like, the president was right here. He sat there. Right. I'm going to sit right there.
And yeah, you have his cup in glass.
Yes,
correct?
I do have. I bought a dome, a glass dome for his paper cup. I thought that was a cute thing, but it's actually this weird little revered thing I have.
Could you get some DNA out of that cup and clone the president?
Why do people always ask that?
Because I think we all want to clone the president. That's why.
Everyone asks
that's
that.
That's an unrealistic question.
I guess, like, I don't watch enough procedurals to even think, like, you know, that. Like, I don't know what. Yeah, I guess you could get his DNA. Do you need it?
You got to do it, Mark.
Yeah,
what,
is that what you're up there doing?
If you could make another president,
you're
come
cloning?
On. Right, I got a cloning factory up here. Mark Maron's WTF podcast, by the way, just celebrated its 700th episode recently with Julie Louis-Dreyfus, which is not an episode that I have heard yet. But, oh, my God, I can't wait for that. That sounds fantastic.
It was great. Yeah, we did. I did an hour with her, and then I had the opportunity. Louie felt like talking. So, yeah.
Oh, that's all. Just Julie Louis-Dreyfus and Louis C.K. That's
all. They're two separate episodes. Well, Louis came over. Like, when he was making, right before he did Horace and Pete, you know, he came over to my house just to do a thing for my show, a little voiceover thing. But we ended up talking for like 2 hours, and he told me the whole thing about how Horace and Pete came to be. And then at the end of it, he goes, Nick, don't tell anyone about this. You know, and then, like, you know, and he made sure the mics were off, and he told me everything as a friend. He told me what he was doing, and I couldn't tell anybody about any of it. And then, like, 2 days later, he goes, we should have recorded that for later.
Thanks,
yeah,
Louis.
Right. But he did. He, like, when, you know, when he wanted. wanted to put it out to the world and not just to the people that are on his newsletter. You know, he said, well, let's do that. Let's talk about it. So that's up there, too. And it's a pretty fascinating thing because we go all the way through it.
Well, it's the best podcast in the world, you guys. WTF with Mark Maron, available through WTFpod.com and also iTunes. Season 4 premiere of the Maron TV show. It's back on IFC this Wednesday night. I always feel with you more than any of our guests, Mark, when you come in, that you have to leave too soon because I'm so used to hearing your voice for long periods of time.
I'll sit here. I'll come in all day. You're just like, you got to get me here earlier.
I understand. Yeah, it's easy to get here earlier, right?
Yeah.
Good luck going home, man. Are you just going to buy a place next to the radio station? You don't have to drive home today.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Hopefully, like, I'm not going to use Waze. I'll get on the highway and I'll take some time to catch up on things.
It's
good luck
journey,
to you, my friend. It's the journey, exactly. Thanks for coming in, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, party people, don't forget Friday at noon. You want to go to krock.com, get all the information and your password so that you can buy tickets for this year's Weenie Roast 2016. Saturday, May 14th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater with the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Weezer and Panic at the Disco and Garbage and Fits and the Tantrums and so much more. Details at krock.com. Allie, where are you going to be on Saturday, July 9th?
I'm going to be watching UFC 200.
Yeah, aren't we all? What an unbelievable card they have put together. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. UFC 200 at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. And one of the men we'll be paying to see is in our studio right now. Please welcome back Cain Velasquez here on the Kevin DeMetro. Hey, Cain.
What's up?
Great to see you again. I felt for you when I saw your post last night on social media about the media day you had yesterday. You did how many interviews yesterday?
I don't know how many I did exactly, but it was from 6 in the morning till we got done around 8, 8 or 8:30.
So about like 14 hours.
14 hours of interviews.
You know, little breaks. Well, I mean, like little breaks in, you know, in between as far as driving to little, you know, places here and there and then just kind of waiting around and, you know, going.
How were you able to do that much interview and not tweet that you were going to retire from the UFC? I mean, that's how you handle a heavy press schedule, Cain. Come right on, what's wrong with you? Get with the program.
I know, I got to take some notes.
Let's address that out of the gate, just because I know people are wondering about it because it affects UFC 200. Your reaction to the controversy of Conor McGregor versus Dana White right now?
My reaction, you know what? I really don't care. You know, for me, I'm just happy to be back, happy to be fighting again in UFC 200. That's my main focus right now.
Of course.
But as far as the controversy and everything else, you know what? I can see both sides. You know, Conor does. You know, he's a guy who's special in a way that, you know, he speaks very well. You know, and he knows how to sell fights. People want to see that. You know what I mean? I don't have that gift as far as going out there and doing what he does, you know, as far as speaking or anything else. I go out there and you know, fight well. So that's it.
But what's going on with him, though, just like in any other business, is it ultimately affects you and all the other UFC fighters in terms of whether what you're being asked to do as part of your job is reasonable. You think it is? You think that they're asking you to do too much, or do you think it all makes sense to you because every time you do an interview, you're selling a ticket to the fight?
Yeah, it definitely all makes sense. Just because we have 2 months, or probably more. We have like we always come down, you know, the weeks. This week is week 11, leading up to the fight. In 2 days of media, and then, you know, obviously we did the press conference over in Las Vegas, and then from then on, it's just training, you know.
And let's get this out of the way, and then you're able to concentrate on what really matters, which is how you're going to beat Travis Brown.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then just the week of the fight, obviously, you know, we're there in Las Vegas, and we're doing more media, just, you know, obviously to lead up to the fight on that Saturday. So yeah.
Bean, are you there?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you dropped. I have a question for you.
That's what I was waiting for.
Okay. I have a question for you because you've been known to drop a puck or two for the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, I have one.
One? What's that all about? Big fan? Or just say, I live close to San Jose, they're my team? Or are you indeed a Sharks fan?
So, living in San Jose, you know, for... I mean, now it's been a while now. Mm-hmm. You know, since I've started fighting, I've lived in San Jose, and originally I'm from Arizona, so I would say my number one team is the Coyotes.
Okay.
But when I'm there in San Jose, if they don't play, if the Sharks don't play against the Coyotes, I want the Sharks to win definitely.
Excellent.
You know, and obviously, my wife growing up in San Jose, we have a 6-year-old daughter that is the ultimate Sharks fan.
I love
so
it.
That makes me a Sharks fan. Yeah,
you're a good parent to introduce your kids to hockey. By the way,
yeah. No,
there needs to be more of that going on.
She loves it, you know, and I think hockey is way better live. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you know, I didn't know that these guys were so big, so fast, so physical.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's
and
just
then
an
you
awesome
think about
sport.
They're doing it on a little blade on ice. It's insanity when you really think about it.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's one thing for a guy like me to watch professional athletes and be amazed, but somebody like you who is a professional athlete and you're still able to appreciate how difficult what they do is, it must really be kind of be humbling to go, well, I couldn't do that, right? They couldn't do what you do either, but you know what I'm saying.
I have a pair of rollerblades, so that's why I can, you know, obviously just say, hey, these are amazing athletes. I have rollerblades and I can barely, you know, go like 50 yards. And
where are you rollerblading?
So when I was a kid, I used to rollerblade, you know, just going back. And I was like, damn, pretty good. You
right?
Know? Like,
would you wear like a headband, just rocking out, listening to music? I need to visualize
that. That would be my transportation to school, like in grade school. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty good, you know. And so then I bought some with my wife, and I was obviously older. I was probably like 25, 26.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, it's kind of like riding a bike, right?
Sure.
You just get back on.
Except
and
it's
no
nothing
problem.
Like it.
Except, boy, does it hurt now.
Right.
Yeah. So we go into, like, the downtown and then come back. And later on, we get phone calls from our friends. Hey, his arms around. And, you know, I was, like, about to fall everywhere I went. So yeah.
Cade, if you were really a baller, you would rollerblade up to the octagon when
come
you're introduced.
On.
When they bring you out with your song, you would rollerblade up and then just take them off and walk in. Come on, let's do it.
I can do that. There's so much beer like on the way up there.
Yeah.
Like on the ground. You're gonna sticking. Slip. You're gonna fall. Yeah.
Oh, that I didn't even think of that.
It's wet.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's fresh beer.
Saturday, July 9th at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Main card airs live on pay-per-view starting at 7 o'clock. It's going to be the biggest fight night in UFC history, UFC 200. We have many questions about Cain Velasquez versus Travis Brown. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock. Talking about UFC 200. Get it here now. I can't wait till Saturday, July 9th, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster. Cain Velasquez is fighting that night. He is in with us here this morning. Cain, how come you, in all the years you've been a fighter and a wrestler before that, how come you don't have a nickname?
So people have tried to put nicknames on me, but I've never let them stick.
Are you allowed to decide?
To yeah. How do you get away with that?
It's not up to you to decide, but you can kind of be okay with them and, you know, let them stick or kind of fight it and not
what
let,
have you
not
rejected?
Stick. Okay, so in Mexico now, even some people, like rarely, but they do call me El Toro.
Okay, the bull.
Okay.
The
and,
bull.
And what's got wrong it. With that? What's your problem with that, King? Because that seems like a nickname of respect and power and strength.
Yeah, I just feel...
feel too much like a lawnmower if you're El Toro?
Exactly. Yeah, right? No, so I think, okay, my style is kind of like going forward, right? Which is kind of like that, but... I mean, we do it in a way that's very technical, and it's not like a bull. There's a lot of technical stuff behind it where we're not just going forward, just doing whatever. You know, there's more to it than that. But I guess I would just like people to call me Cain. You
just
know?
Be Cain. Yeah,
yeah. I think that name is strong enough where you can just say, okay, you know.
What about
there's
like
there's no need for a nickname.
Cain, bring the pain.
No. Well, sounds good.
Okay, all right.
And I'll probably fight it and say no.
All right.
Yeah. But it was good.
Thank you.
No one's going to tell Cain Velasquez what to do. All right. It's been a number of months now. How often would you say you think about UFC 188, the last time you fought in the Octagon? How often does that cross your mind, or is it something that you put behind you and, like you said, you're a guy who goes forward and all you're concentrated on is Travis Brown right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely, you know, before this fight, then, yeah, I would think of it a lot, you know, obviously. You always look at your, you know, your previous losses and just try to get better from them. you know, just get stuff that you can from your losses and just think to yourself, okay, how can I improve? Where did I mess up? Just so I can move forward and obviously just improve.
When you watched that fight after the fact, could you see what the problem was?
Yeah, for one thing, I should have been out there in Mexico City a lot longer than what I was. You know, I've trained in Colorado Springs. They have the Olympic Training Center there. I've trained there before, and it's higher altitude. It's not as high as Mexico City, but I've trained there, and I felt fine, like, in 2 days, you know, pretty much acclimated. So I thought, okay, Mexico City, 2 weeks, and I'd be good. And that definitely wasn't the case. So
when you do train in a place like Colorado City, then the fight is in Vegas. Mm-hmm. What does that do for you?
Supposedly, you get more red blood cells because there's a lot less oxygen where you're training at. Mm-hmm. So your body gets used to that and it produces more red blood cells. So when you go down to a sea level, obviously you have more of those red blood cells, so more oxygen.
And you can sustain longer? Is that part of it? Or
yeah, you're just better in conditioned.
Okay.
You know, they say in Mexico City, all the people there that live there have something like a pint of blood extra than other people
or something like that
because of the altitude.
Wow.
You know, it's something like, I mean, it's not exactly, I don't know, you know, but you...
No,
you
I'm
can,
quoting you.
You can look I it up. You, know, you can look it up and it's, I don't know if it's a pint or it could be like...
Dr. Like, Kane Velasquez says right? It's a pint.
It could be like half a cup or something like that. Right?
It's science.
It's science, exactly.
I wasn't very good at it.
You and Travis did a lot of press together yesterday, and you seem comfortable with each other. I mean, he's not your first choice in the world of who you want to hang out with, but it doesn't seem like you are guys who can't be in the same room without tearing each other's heads off. Is it a business fight for you, not a personal fight for you?
Yeah, you know, beforehand, I mean, you know, us doing interviews together, that's fine. I've done that, you know, thousands of times with Junior Dos Santos, with, you know, Verdum, everybody that I've fought, pretty much I've done that with. So it's not a big deal, you know. When it comes down to the fight, I mean, that's where I take it personal, you know. It's something different. It's not just a paycheck. It's also, it's pride for me, you know. So obviously I take that differently. I don't know how other people think, if they just think, oh, it's a sport or whatever. I definitely think of that differently.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel at 33 years old? I mean, there are some people who at that stage of the game with as much mileage on them would have some nagging injuries, mm-hmm. you know, that they have sustained and just learned to live with. And then there are other people who just feel like, man, I'm in the best shape I've ever been in my life. Where are you on that scale?
You know what? With the previous injuries, I mean, all that stuff, I mean, it does kind of suck, you know, as far as trying to move forward and everything else. But, you know, I think of it as I train with two of the best guys in the world, Daniel Cormier and Luke Rockhold, and I know that I am still the best heavyweight out there, you know. As far as what my body can do and everything else, I know that I still am the best. I just have to stay healthy to make it to the fight, and that's it.
And we have seen more injuries after fights have already been announced than in this last few months than at any time in the UFC that I can remember. And, mm-hmm. and I guess it comes with the territories. You're going to get hurt while you're training, right?
Yeah, it's the way we train, definitely. You know, the best way to get ready for a fight is to fight, you know. So we spar hard. Obviously, we don't wear, like, the small gloves. We wear 16-ounce gloves, shin guards, knee pads, and then also, you know, headgear. And we spar hard 3 days a week, and that's, like, 5 rounds, you know, each day. So I think with that, with, I like to call it seasoned fighters, me, DC, and also Luke, we need to maybe cut out some of that, you know, maybe just do one or two hard sparring days a week, mm-hmm. and then, yeah.
Know your limits, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, you know, we don't need to put our bodies through that anymore, you know. All we need to do is be in shape and be sharp, and then just the most important thing now is to make it to the fight. So
I'm pacing myself in my life by not doing anything athletic because I just want to make sure I don't get hurt for my whole 90 years, whatever mm-hmm. I got. That's what's working
it's
for
good.
Me so far.
Yeah.
Right. And if you've seen me, you see how that's working for me, Allie.
Some heroes don't wear capes, Bean. I've said about you for years.
This UFC 200 is the biggest fight night in the sport's history. You must have been so psyched that your fight was picked for this bill, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what an audience you're going to have.
Definitely, yeah. just looking back at UFC 100, you know, that was a stacked card. And, you know, that was the time that I was up and coming, and I would have definitely loved to be on that card. But, you know, again, excited to be on this one. This one seems like it's going to be even better than 100.
Are you just going to concentrate on your fight and not pay any attention to what else is going on in the T-Mobile Arena that night? You'll wait till you get home to see what happens with Aldo Edgar and with Miesha Tate's fight and everything mm-hmm. else?
Yeah, definitely. I'm always like that, you know. Whenever I'm at the fights, I'm just in the back in the locker room just getting ready for my fight, and that's pretty much it. You know, afterwards I'll hear about what happened, or, you know, I'll kind of hang out and just kind of talk to people about what happened, but pretty much I'll just worry about my fight, and that's it.
What's your post-fight meal, Kane?
You
look like a chicken and waffles guy.
Does he?
It's different, you know? I mean, it all depends on, like, the people that I'm with, you know? And, like, as long as, you know, I have good friends around me and family, that's awesome. You know, so it's just like, what do you guys want to go eat? You know,
but if your in-laws are there, you got to go to Sizzler or something. That's a downer.
Yeah, downer. No, okay, one of the best places that I like in Vegas is, like, the Brazilian Steakhouse.
Oh,
okay.
Where you have to turn over the thing so they stop bringing you meat.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I got real excited right there.
It's so good. Yeah. Allie perked up for that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you have that meat, and I hope that you're having that meat as a winner. July 9th at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. It is a hell of a lineup for UFC 200, and tickets are going on sale this Friday through Ticketmaster at 10 a.m. Don't miss it. And, of course, if you don't go in person to Las Vegas, be sure to get yourself some pay-per-view and watch our friend Kane Velasquez fighting that night. Great to see you again, sir. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman steps in. Time for our final look at the show biz beat this morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Did you see it?
Kelly and Michael?
Yeah, the throwdown.
I had the TV on, but the sound down because we were talking to Kane Velasquez, so I missed it.
She hit him with a folding chair.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Jerry.
It came off the top turnbuckle.
Uh-uh.
Gave him the atomic pile driver.
Wow.
Sweet.
Couldn't believe it. Then the Iron Sheik came in.
They really went for it.
Yeah. He said, you jabronis, or what did he say?
Jabronis.
Jabronis?
I think that's right, yeah.
No, it was all much ado about nothing, as you knew it would be. It was all sanitized for your protection. Kelly came out to thunderous applause. Oh, were those people back? Glad to have her back. After those two long, long days without her.
Like
well, she's been on TV for a long time. I think she's got a fan base of people who like her.
Yeah, but, you know, she didn't
particularly people in that audience who are going to see the show, they want to see Kelly.
She didn't go to off to fight in Afghanistan. She just was, sitting in her brownstone for 2 days, and then she came back. Come on. What would happen if we had a stand ovation every time Kevin came back to work after a short break?
So much clapping.
Our hands would be blistered.
Yes, they would.
From all the applause.
What's happening? What are we listening
it's
to?
It's a standing ovation.
Oh, okay.
For Kevin coming back to work. They were going crazy. Yeah. I'm just saying. It was a bit of an overreaction. She got a standing O because she came back. And she said it's all's good now. It's all fine.
How did they seem to you, Ralph? You're a person who could read a room. Did
yes.
they seem like they were faking it because they had to, or did they seem like they had a chat and they were cool with one another?
It seemed like it was as cool as it could be.
Okay.
And then in addition to, as well, Tom Bien, they were putting on a very brave, friendly public face for the sake of the viewership.
Allie, why do you say that you've heard behind the scenes they don't get along?
Yeah,
because
Allie.
I've heard behind the scenes
from?
That they don't get along. That's
yeah, right,
why I say it.
Who told you? Gelman? Was it Gelman?
No, Reach, it was not. I've heard that for years, and maybe it's not true, maybe it is, but...
But let's spread it anyway.
I didn't spread it, actually. I said that off the air.
You're spreading it.
Yeah,
now,
you're
Bean.
Spreading it.
Alleged.
Yeah,
allegedly.
No, it real is real.
So she came out and she said it's all fine. Why? Well, I'll have Kelly Ripa tell you.
Apologies have been made, and the best thing to come out of all of this, you guys, is that our parent company has assured me that live is a priority.
Woo! So those were her big deal. The fact that she was not, it was not handled properly, her breaking the news to her regarding Strahan's departure. Which I think is kind of a legitimate beef, right? She should have been looped into the progress. As soon as it was apparent that Michael was going to be leaving for Good Morning America, she should have been looped in.
I agree.
Rather than sort of here like the, with the rest of the world.
I thought she did find out in a meeting with her and Gilman they were giving a like 4 months notice.
Oh, that's not what I heard at all.
No, I think she found out. She may have found out a few minutes before the press release went out from the network, but I think she found out the same day that he was leaving.
That's what
Even
I
though
read.
They're supposed to be on all summer long together, she did find out.
Yeah, oh no,
the same
I'm not
time.
Saying she found out 4 months before, but they were.
Oh yes, he was. Yeah, he's leaving 4 months from now, but the news broke to the world in general.
Same day.
Minutes
okay.
same day. After right. they broke the news to her.
I think that's legit.
And she was also concerned that because of all the attention being spent to GMA and the rumors that have been perhaps they were going to expand that morning show to take over the hour that Live currently holds on the air. I think she was worried for her job and her livelihood and her show. But it sounds like they've assured her that, that Live will live on. So seems like she's
Hope
okay
she got
with
that
it.
In writing.
So the long national nightmare is over, Ralph?
That's what she said, actually, at the beginning of that. The long national nightmare is she over.
Did she also say, which I didn't hate at all, that I took a couple days off to clear my head,
yes.
and after 26 years with the company, I felt I deserved that.
Yeah, she did say that, yeah.
Wow.
I agree.
And she said, I didn't want to be out here angry or upset and say something wrong or that right. I would regret. She said it was better for me to take some time off and cool down and get things figured out and find out what's happening and then come back. So,
well, that's smart.
I think she handled
smart.
It pretty well, but really I was hoping for some actual physical violence, and sadly, none was to be had.
I'm sorry.
I know, right? I can't count on anybody for nothing anymore.
But that's a fair fight of her versus a professional football player.
Oh, it would have been awesome. But she's scrappy.
Right.
She may be small,
like,
but she's scrappy.
Ninja-like.
I think she's a lot heavier than she looks on television, too. I get the sense she's beefy in real life.
Not
she
even
looks like
a
she weighs about
bit.
80 pounds.
The TV camera takes off about 40 pounds.
I think it does the opposite, Rob.
No.
Yeah.
Open up a blog.
Okay.
Who knows more about being on TV, me or you who were on television for 20 years?
Well,
by the way, I know this. You're going to say this is creepy.
I round up.
I know you're going to say this is creepy, and this is not the point of this interview portion that we're doing here. But my takeaway from the Kelly and Michael show, just having it on in the background, is how unbelievably pretty the blind spot girl is. Holy moly, Jamie Alexander is pretty.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
You just had to shoehorn some creepy into there, did you?
No, I'm not
there was
trying
none to be had,
creepy.
And
I'm
you just
saying,
had to force feed us some creepy.
I've never seen her out of her tattoo TV show makeup. And gosh, is she pretty.
Have you never seen Thor?
No. Or I've never seen her on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've never seen anything else she's done. Believe me, I've memorized her IMDb now.
Oh,
I got a lot of
man.
Watching to do. But I'm just saying, that's a good deal right there. All right, back to you.
Just you don't put your stink all over something and give it back to me. It's like you have a sweater and you wear it and you just sleep in it and you work out in it and say, okay, back to you, and you hand me the sweater. Now I'm supposed to put the sweater on.
Why are you working out in a sweater?
I'm not saying that's not the point.
Being confused.
Oh,
I'm not saying anything creepy. What did I say? She's pretty. That's all I'm saying is I had no idea how pretty she was.
I memorized her IMDb page. I got a lot of watching to do.
She's a good deal right there.
You don't know, man.
It's a new DVD day. People still buy DVDs?
Not much.
Well, it's new release day. So
if you're a hardcore fan, maybe it's worth it for the extras. But in general, we're just streaming movies on iTunes and Netflix.
You can still get these new releases on demand and video download as well as DVD. But here's what's out. Ride Along 2, finally. Ice Cube and Kevin Hart riding along again for your enjoyment.
Still riding.
Krampus. Did you miss out on the Christmas classic Krampus? With Adam Scott and Toni Collette, my buddy Dick Heckman.
I didn't see it, but I don't feel like I missed out on it.
Oh, come on.
It was awesome. Bean, shut up.
Really?
I heard great things about it. It was really fun. It's a fun horror movie. Right, Chip?
Right.
You know. Backtrack with Adrian Brody and Sam Neill. That's not a real movie. People are just making stuff up now. Jane Got a Gun with Natalie Portman and Ewan McGregor. Ewan McGregor. He's got a gun. He'll shoot you with bullets. That's also available today. And on TV, if you're a completist with TV series, you can finally get Royal Pain Season 7 available. Because, you got 1 through 6 sitting there lonely on your shelf.
What
you say,
happened?
Where's the rest of the Royal Pains collection?
What do you think was the last DVD either of you bought?
Bought.
I know what mine was. It was Force Awakens, but
I
got to own that.
bought. Well, we know we're in an enviable position here on the morning show because we get sent a lot of freebies.
Oh, a lot I don't get any of those.
I get none.
Because
you live
those.
In your cave, Unabomber. Right. That's why they don't send mail up there.
Right.
But here at the station, we get regular DVD deliveries. So I don't think I've purchased a DVD in quite some time.
How about you, Ellie?
Peaky Blinders.
All right.
There you go. Hot in Cleveland Season 6 also available today.
Sweet.
As Bean said, Betty White's one of his five favorite celebrity people of all time.
I love that show. I love her.
I've never seen that show, but apparently the girls drop hot Clevelands on each other.
No, that is not it.
That definitely didn't happen.
You sure?
Yeah.
Is it butt stuff?
No, that's what we're saying is it's not.
That's what I'm saying. Then maybe. If that happens to Betty White, then maybe I'll watch.
No!
Yeah, what was up with that?
If Jane leaves...
Nope.
Leaves nope. something on Betty White.
No, no.
Then maybe. Otherwise, today's celebrity birthdays. Channing Tatum is 68. Nope.
Wow,
he looks fantastic.
Channing Tatum is 36 years old today. I sometimes have minor bouts of dyslexia with numbers.
Huh. You do.
I often will be saying a name, and I will transpose the first and second number. Mm-hmm. Isn't that strange? Not large groups of numbers, but just when two numbers are side by side.
Like ages?
Exactly like that, Allie. Like ages.
You have dyslexia.
Channing Tatum is 36 years old today.
He has what?
Lysdexia. See, he transposed the letters in dyslexia and came up with Lysdexia.
Oh.
That's wordplay.
Sure is.
Some wordplay there, Allie. Tom Welling, 39 years old today. Kevin James is 51. Jet Li, talented action star, is 53. And one of my favorite ladies in the world, Stana Katic, celebrates her 38th birthday today. Sad news that she will be leaving Castle, but I cannot wait to see what she does next. She needs her own show. Stana Katic. That would be a bad name for
a
show. Let me rethink it. How about she plays a radio repair woman?
Okay.
What's she
wearing?
Who goes from house to house fixing your radio?
Huh.
It was called Nothing But Catic.
Come on. Really?
Clearing up the Catic.
Okay.
Boo!
Catic v Static.
All right. You're done.
I'm done. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah, you are. And yeah, you do. And yeah, we'll be back with yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow for a Wednesday. I think this is going to be fun. Our friend Eddie Ift. Hilarious comedian. Just saw him on Foolishness a couple weeks
show
ago.
Killer. Eddie Iff, show killer. Yeah.
Love Line was just doing fine 35 years in until Eddie Iff showed up this week, and now it's over. He'll be stopping by tomorrow. Also, Ralph, you're going to be very excited. How about Dr. Harrison Wells on the program tomorrow?
So good on that show. We're talking about The Flash, of course. He is. He was Reverse Flash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now he's Harrison Wells of Earth 2, who is much more... on the side of the Angels, but he's crankier. So,
how do you train to run backwards like that?
Reverse Flash doesn't run backwards, Allie.
No?
No. Oh. He ran forward, but he was the opposite of everything the Flash was.
We will discuss all that with actor Tom Cavanaugh on the program tomorrow. We got a brand new internet roundup as well, and we have confirmed that we have more tickets tomorrow for you to see Captain America Civil War on the IMAX screen. So that's a good deal right there. That's all tomorrow, right here on K-Rock.